Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. And it is 4:02. Welcome in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Same can be said on 106.3 FM, our South Gym frequency in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. The U.S. has defeated England 2-1 and is headed to the third consecutive Women's World Cup Finals. More on that to come momentarily. Jeremy Werner of ESPN 93.5 in Champaign-Urbana will be joining the program coming up in about 15-20 minutes as the countdown to kickoff takes us one step closer to Big Ten Football Media Days in Chicago later this month. Today we preview Lovie Smith and the Illinois Fighting Illini. Also, more Big Ten football talk to come in the 5 o'clock hour as we now have official over-under win totals for the Big Ten, courtesy of the good folks at Caesars in Las Vegas. It's 4, by the way, on the Illini, if you want to listen to our segment with Jeremy in a few minutes and then hop a plane to Las Vegas. And Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com makes his bi-weekly visit with us. We'll pick his brain as to whether or not it's time to shake things up in Chicago. Also, just how strong or weak is the NL Central? It's been a talking point of some people this season as we inch ever closer to Major League Baseball's All-Star break. You can reach out to us on the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Alex, we got in under the gun today. I am pleased to report that through no fault of my own, again, hasn't exactly been the greatest couple of weeks for me. I've had a lot on my mind.
Understandable.
One of the things that fell through the cracks, or almost fell through the cracks, was Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. The deadline for the hotel was yesterday. 9 times out of 10, the rooms are already booked. Got lucky. Well, I think maybe my luck is starting to turn because we don't have to sleep in the streets of Chicago.
Well, I have a friend who lives just about 10 blocks to the north of where the hotel is. We could have just I could have slept on the couch and you could have used an air mattress in the kitchen. It's kind of a small apartment. And there may or may not be cockroaches in this apartment, but staying at the hotel sounds better.
I would have had no problem with an air mattress.
No, but no cockroaches. It would have been fine.
I'll take a hotel over an air mattress any day of the week. But we're in. We're solidly booked. And we're looking forward to heading back to Chicago in a couple weeks to bring all of the folks here in Eastern Iowa the Big Ten Media Day coverage that they've come to enjoy, or so I'm told, here on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Oh, boy. The U.S. Women's National Team beats England today 2-1. And what more can you say about the women's soccer program in the United States? They're head and shoulders above the men.
Yeah, they are.
Don't get nearly as much respect as they probably deserve, and the biggest storyline throughout the World Cup has been one player in particular, Megan Rapinoe, who did not play today.
She was not in the lineup.
And wouldn't you know, her replacement scored the first goal for the United States today. Alex Morgan scored the game winner. It looked as if England had tied things up at 2-2, but it was offsides.
Does the term VAR mean anything to you?
VAR
in soccer.
I was going to say I've seen it referenced on Twitter earlier today. I figured it was probably some sort of terminology.
Video,
is it unique to the sport?
It is. Video assistant referee. So apparently international soccer has a referee who's up in the booth, just like many people think that the NFL should, the NHL should, the NBA. Somebody up in the booth with video capabilities that can buzz down and say, hey, that play was offside. Now, it worked to the advantage of the USA, and then about 10 minutes later, it worked to the disadvantage of the USA, where there was a play near the goal. It was a huge flop. An English player flopped within 10 feet of the net, and
brutally
she got a,
obvious.
It was brutally obvious, but the video assistant referee made the call that a foul was in fact committed, and they got a goal kick because of it.
You keep calling it the video assisted referee, Alex. It's VAR. Everybody knows
VAR.
That. Everybody knows that.
I'm struggling with my lingo here, my soccer lingo.
In
what's
watching
the restricted area? No?
In watching the game today, and I saw the flop that you're referencing, that's the reason why I think it's really, really difficult for some people to get into soccer.
Definitely.
Because I glanced at the... I'm paying cursory attention to what's going on with the World Cup. I want everybody to know that. The only reason that I'm intrigued at all by what's happening is because people have lost their minds over Megan Rapinoe. And so that, to me, is suddenly piquing my interest. So now I'm paying attention because I like chaos, and we're on the verge of chaos here because she's not exactly wildly popular. And so now I'm tuned in because today she's not in the lineup, and there's all this palace intrigue, and there's internet rumors as to why she wasn't playing. I believe Jill Ellis, who is the head coach of the U.S. women's national team, partly hinted, or it was you were led to believe that it was a strategic decision. There may also be a hamstring injury involved.
Yeah, she wasn't out on the pitch for warmups.
Soccer just can't draw me in because I barely glanced at the TV. They were trying to figure out whether that was a penalty or not. The replay, as I say that, happens to flash before my eyes. In half a second, I was like, there's no contact there.
There was
and
no
yet,
contact whatsoever made.
She goes down like somebody shot her.
And reaches her hands up as she's going down, she's yelling at the referee.
Soccer player, have some respect for us, the viewer. Us, the fan.
Shut up and keep playing. Seriously.
So.
Seriously.
1783, 1814, and now 2019. The United States is a pretty good track record against England.
Did you see Alex Morgan and her goal celebration?
I did, and there's this perception internationally that Americans are arrogant. And I don't think the U.S. women's national team is doing anything at all to tamp that down.
No.
Alex Morgan scored what proved to be the game-winning goal today and then pretended to sip tea, which had some people speculating what exactly the British version of that would be. How would the Brits troll the Americans if they were to score more than one goal, but it didn't come to fruition today. I guess we'll never know because they scored a second goal and then it got wiped clean because of a virtual referee, which, let's be honest here, you hinted at this. The NFL should have this.
Yes.
And you can make the argument maybe some other professional leagues could as well, but I think certainly the NFL, and there was some NFL news today. We'll get to Ezekiel Elliott in just a little bit because he's saying all the right things to Roger Goodell. It's just a question of whether or not he actually means them. And most people who have dealt with anybody who's ever half-heartedly apologized understands that he most likely is just going through the motions here. What I find fascinating about the U.S. women's national team, and again, we're done talking about them as of Sunday, right? That's the final between either Sweden or the Netherlands. And then soccer in this country goes on hiatus for another several years.
Yeah, because the men aren't in the World Cup. So it's going to be longer than usual.
I don't know what to make of the hand-wringing over Megan Rapinoe, an individual whose name I didn't even know how to pronounce about a week and a half ago, which really underscores my ignorance when it comes to this subject of soccer. But I suppose there are people out there who don't follow the NFL, where if you put somebody's name in front of them, like Ben Roethlisberger, maybe they wouldn't know how to pronounce it. And everybody else would be like, everybody knows how to say that. So I professed my ignorance here a couple weeks ago by mispronouncing her name. And now I am saying it every chance that I can get, because it gets a reaction out of people, which is sort of the point of this whole business when you stop and think about it. I'm having a hard time believing that there were actually people out there rooting against their country today because they don't like the fact that she's on the team. But I waded into the comments section on stories on ESPN and a couple newspaper websites today. And whether or not you can believe these online people.
You mean that they're real or not?
Well, not necessarily that they're real or not. People have a tendency to say a lot of things online that they don't actually back up in real life.
Oh, that's true.
They'll talk the talk, and then when it comes to walking the walk, you don't see it from them. But there were people who were posting that they were rooting for England today. I don't get that. And we had the Washington Post columnist on yesterday. Jerry Brewer. I wanted to say Jim Brewer for a second. He's a comedian, right? He was on Saturday Night Live a million years ago. Jerry Brewer had this column in the Washington Post a couple days ago about how Megan Rapinoe essentially embodies everything that's simultaneously right and wrong with this country. That if you want to boil everything down to its essence, she takes the physical manifestation of that. Everything that's good about this country, everything that's bad about this country, and she's just become sort of a lightning rod for that. And I don't know. I find it interesting. And that's a word that I use over and over and over and over again on this program because I'm not intelligent enough to come up with a thesaurus. I guess I could find a half-price bookstore or something and see if I could get a deal on one. But when I say I find something interesting, I really do truly find something interesting. The reaction to her, I don't get it. What is there to be upset about? Because at the end of the day, isn't she, again, underscoring why this country is different than all of the other countries in the world?
Well, she said something that a lot of people disagree with, and that's...
We're still allowed to do that in this country.
But we are, technically. But when was the last time that you saw an intelligent conversation, an intelligent debate on Twitter between two parties that disagreed with each other? That's not where we're at right now. Where we're at right now is if somebody disagrees with you, you call them an idiot. And that's it, right?
Well, you want to talk about summing things up and distilling things down. Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
Pretty much is it. I've neglected, by the way, to this point in time, to mention the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600, if you would like to use it to reach out to us. I understand that Megan Rapinoe doesn't have a whole lot of fans out there, but to openly root against your country's national soccer team because she's a part of it, I don't buy that. I think it's a convenient excuse. Sue Bird, by the way, had a really intriguing piece on Megan Rapinoe, who their partners, on the Players Tribune. The Players Tribune is a website that I don't read nearly as much as I probably should. It's a fascinating concept. Jeter started it, right? or he's involved in it, the Players Tribune. I thought he was one of the first people to write an article for that website. Regardless, I am only invested in the women's national soccer team at the moment because there's a controversial player there and she's making heads explode and she has pink hair.
Well, she's,
and she's very brash and she's outspoken and she uses naughty language and she upsets people who... Those same people, in my opinion, would be calling somebody else a snowflake if the shoe were on the other foot. But because they're the ones who get offended, then everybody gets up in arms. So that to me is fascinating because I've said this before a million times in this program. Everybody's a snowflake.
Yeah.
Everybody's a snowflake in 2019. I hate that term, by the way, and I don't know how else to describe it. And I am tiptoeing around this because it's not necessarily like I love embracing this discussion.
No,
and judging by the feedback, I don't think it's a comfortable conversation to have. I don't think it's one that people want to have. But we're coming up on Thursday, the 4th of July, the celebration of this nation's independence. By the way, a good time to remind everybody that we will not be on the air on Thursday. There will be no local programming. We'll give you plenty of baseball. Cubs, Pirates, I believe, part of the lineup as well. And then we'll be back on Friday. Local programming returns with the gym class at 3 o'clock. Scott and Mark, brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery. Do you have the ability here when you're discussing about this to upset some people? And when people get upset, then they do...
They call you names.
Well,
they
worse
can,
than that.
Well, when people get upset, they call the people who they're upset with names and don't want to engage in any type of discussion as to why somebody who was asked a question would have the gall to say that they're not going to the White House. Why did she say that? Because she was asked if she was going to go to the White House if they won back in January, and the video surfaced here in July. It was in January when she was asked the question and responded to the question like a normal person does, and the video showed up in July.
I don't like Addison Russell. I think he's a terrible human being. I haven't stopped rooting for the Chicago Cubs. So I don't understand why there would be people out there, and again, maybe this is just a bunch of folks who say one thing and then do another. But I am having a hard time understanding the concept of openly rooting against the United States soccer team because somebody is on the team that you don't like. And if somebody wants to try to explain that to me, 366-1600, and we're not even going down the rabbit hole of the shoe thing today either. Because I don't buy the timing of that at all.
Yeah, that one smells.
Happy 4th of July week, everybody. Grill your damn hot dogs, drink your cheap beer, get a hangover, and just try to forget about how miserable things are for a large portion of this country right now. If you're happy one day, you're mad the next, and if you're mad one day, you're happy the next, and you're just... What a time to be alive. Because the U.S. women's national team is playing for in its third consecutive Women's World Cup final on Sunday. And they're going to do so against Sweden or the Netherlands. What a time to be alive. 319-366-1600. Megan Rapinoe did not play today. And the U.S. still won 2-1 because this team is... To my knowledge, again, I've done some... It's like when you were in college or high school and you had a test and you didn't really care for the subject a whole lot, but you knew if you learned like 20 minutes before the test, you try to cram as much as you can before the test. This team is incredibly talented and incredibly deep. And so they could play without her today. And also she has some defensive deficiencies. And then it turns out she may or may not have also had a little bit of an injury as well. But they were able to survive not having her on the pitch today. See, I crammed a lot in 20 minutes. I know now the terminology as well. They wind up winning 2-1. And again, I'm also fascinated by Alex Morgan sipping the tea, because if
she's taunting,
somebody did that to the United States.
Throwing shade.
If one of their players did something like that to the United States, this country would be up in arms.
Yeah, like,
because it's us, everybody is like, oh, I love it.
What would someone do to make fun of us?
I don't even want to touch that
topic.
Yeah,
I had something in mind, but I'll just keep that one to myself.
I'm over the moon that the United States... I'm not somebody who wraps themselves in the flag. I don't... All of this makes me very uneasy because I see people that I really like and respect a lot, and they're just going full-on USA, USA on social media and everything, and it's always kind of given me the heebie-jeebies, to be honest with you, because I just can't put my finger on it. But
the more patriotic than thou mentality, almost?
I just think there's a lot of disingenuousness to it.
I can agree with that.
It's convenient. I'll leave it at that. 319-366-1600. But there you have it. You didn't want my thoughts on the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. You got them at 424 today. We'll get Kyle to come in here and get us a big board update. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location still in Iowa City, 2802 Independence Road, aptly named for this 4th of July week. They also have the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Colonels will be on the road tonight and tomorrow. They're back home on the 4th of July. Twins baseball is back tonight after an off day yesterday. Kyle's going to tell you all about that and more right now.
The Iowa football team announced its leadership group today, consisting of 18 seniors. It doesn't always work out that way, but the veteran group includes the likes of Nate Stanley, Brady Reef, Cedric Lattimore, Michael Ojemudia, Amani Jones, Christian Welch, Drew Cook, the Paulsons, Brady Ross, and Colton Rastetter, and that group was voted on by the team. Iowa State guard Tyrese Halliburton and the Team USA under-19 team played the final preliminary round game today at the FIBA World Cup in Greece. Halliburton once again led the team in minutes in an 87-54 victory over Senegal, but sat back scoring-wise as they spread the ball around. He actually went scoreless, only taking two shots with four assists, three boards, and a block. They'll begin the round of 16 tomorrow against Latvia. We got a little in-state recruiting news this afternoon, and not exactly good news for most of you. Three-star, 6'5", 250-pound defensive end Blaze Gunnarsson's the second-ranked recruit in the state in the class of 2022, and earlier today, the Carroll Kuemper product committed to Scott Frost and Nebraska. The Hawkeyes extended an offer, but the Cyclones had reportedly been in particularly hot pursuit. The Colonels are beginning a four-game split home-and-home series on the road in Burlington today. First pitch is set for 6:30 tonight and tomorrow before returning to Cedar Rapids on the 4th. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and A's from Oakland. First pitch is set for around 9, and we'll pick up coverage at 8:30 on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
I'm reading the responses to the topic on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, and I love some of them. I really do. I think there are some really well-spoken and well-thought-out people on both sides of... I don't even want to call it a debate, because it shouldn't be. I do see a couple people saying that they're rooting for her to not play in the finals and for the U.S. to still win. That, I believe, is the equivalent of wanting your cake and eating it too. Is she not one of the best players? If she were healthy, would she be one of the best 6, 7, 8 players on the team?
Absolutely.
How many players start on a soccer field?
11, right?
Okay, 11. Is she one of the best 11 players out there?
Of course.
Why would you... Nobody say, hey, I want to go into Game 7 of the World Series, and I don't want our best player out there, but I still want my team to win. And I'm not saying she's the best player. I'm saying she's one of the best players. But nothing... And read that column in the Washington Post. if you haven't used up your four or five free articles for the month or whatever it is, and then you go and clear out your cookies and get more free news that you should probably be paying for, the column is spot on because, again, she sort of represents everything that is going on in this country right now, good or bad, depending on what side of things you choose to view her. I choose to view her as an extremely talented individual who is outspoken and can back it up, right? Don't we like athletes who are outspoken and then go out and back it up?
Well, that's what I said after she scored two goals against, why am I forgetting the, France.
Well, anybody could have scored those goals. I read that take earlier today. But she's not that good. If you went back and looked at those goals, it's not like she's doing anything out there that nobody else could do.
She scored two goals and won the game for the United States over the home country in the World Cup. So she's clearly one of those athletes who uses her brashness and trash talk to motivate her.
She
and does it in
Megan
a very
Rapinoe,
good job.
Just in case anybody is unaware of who we're talking about. Megan Rapinoe, who did not play today, and the U.S. still managed to win, running our impressive streak of victories over England, Great Britain, however you want to put it, let's see. You say 1776, you'd be wrong, because that's when the Revolutionary War started. We wrapped things up in 1783. I believe the same can be true for the War of 1812. I believe that one dragged on for a couple of years. They may have burned down the White House, but by God, Dolly Madison saved that painting of George Washington, and her legacy is forever cemented because she has a line of snack cakes named after her. And if that doesn't boil America down into one sentence, I don't know what possibly could. Let's get to the countdown to kickoff. Again, our stop today, number 3 of 13, leading up to Big Ten Football Media Days later this month. Champaign, Illinois. Jeremy Warner works for 24/7 Sports. He's also on 93.5 ESPN Radio in Champaign, Urbana. He's with us next to preview what could be a... How do you want to describe what's in store for the Illini this year?
They could make a huge improvement mediocre.
Yep. Here we go. Mediocrity on the horizon for Illinois? Question mark. We ask Jeremy when he joins us next.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save big money on a new water heater. The Richmond Encore high-efficiency tankless water heater heats water only when needed, lowering energy costs. Available in natural gas or LP models, it's $998.99. The 50-gallon hybrid electric heat pump water heater is our most energy-efficient water heater. It's $1149.99. Sale prices are good through Saturday, July 6th, during Menards' 4th of July sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you ready for a smart-rocking summer of 2019? Here's your summer checklist. Beach towels, beach balls, and beach apparel. Check. Smart rock. Check. Grilling utensils. Check. Live music and deeper tracks of smart rock. Check. Vacation plans? Check. Smart FM app for your mobile device? Check. There. You are now ready to smart rock your way through the summer of 19. Smart FM.
It's only 20 days till the big ride across the state. And you'll have even more fun riding with the right gear for a safe, comfortable ride. Get your bike tuned up and all the accessories you need right now at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First the Pirates face the Cubs, then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon starting at 2:30 here on the gym, KGYL.
Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn back with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, our South Gym frequency in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com. It's time for the third stop on the 13-stop countdown to kickoff and Big Ten Football Media Days later this month in Chicago. We've already been to Ann Arbor. We've already been to Lincoln, Nebraska. Let's head on down I-74 to Champaign-Urbana. The Illinois Fighting Illini and Lovie Smith gearing up for what hopefully will be a turnaround season for the Illini. Jeremy Warner, who covers the Illini for 24/7 Sports, also heard on 93.5 ESPN Radio in Champaign-Urbana, joining us now to give us the lowdown on the Fighting Illini. Jeremy, always a pleasure to have you on the program. I've looked at some preseason publications with regard to what the Illini are expecting this year, and they're referring to, a lot of them refer to last year, not as a rebuilding year, but a building year.
Yeah, well, that's the hope. They took some steps last year. Big win against Minnesota and kind of blew them out until the fourth quarter. Minnesota got some big touchdowns. But, you know, they doubled their win total. They got two Big Ten wins after getting zero the year before. So it's a step forward. But I think when you put it in the context of what the rest of the Big Ten West has done, when you put it in the context of them getting blown out and many of their eight losses, including that 63-0 curb stomping here in Champaign to Iowa, there's still big questions remain of whether Lovie Smith and this thing can work here at Illinois when the rest of the Big Ten West, when Purdue has taken huge strides and gotten in front of Illinois, Minnesota with P.J. Fleck gets to a bowl game, even though they lost to Illinois last year. So, you know, Nebraska is obviously getting better under Scott Frost, and Iowa and Wisconsin kind of are what they are, and you know, Northwestern's been the far better program over the last two decades. So, yeah, I mean, they might have taken some step forward, but in the context of the rest of the Big Ten, they still have multiple steps to take. And, you know, this is a huge season for Lovie Smith. And, you know, this is kind of, I don't know if it's make or break. I don't know if it's bowl or bust. It's got to be a continued gradual progression. And I think just competitiveness is one. You want to see it in the win total as well. And if you get to a bowl game, you feel like you can really get this thing rolling.
You mentioned that game against Iowa and Champaign last year. How demoralizing was that performance for the entire program?
Absolutely, because you did feel like you were taking some steps. You know, like Lovie Smith had taken over as defensive coordinator, and against Minnesota, they looked really good. And so they put their backup in the fourth quarter, the hell of a team in Minnesota, who beat some good teams in November to just, I think, 14 points over the first three quarters. So they felt like they had taken a big step forward, or they were about to, and maybe a competitive game against Iowa would have been nice, because Nebraska, they were pretty competitive, at least offensively, through that entire game. And then to come home against Iowa and just not even look like you belong on the same field. That's what Illini fans were kind of looking for last year, was can we look like we belong in the same field, because the previous 2 years they really hadn't. So, you know, they beat Rutgers, they dominated Rutgers for Penn State, they were good for three quarters. South Florida, pretty good team at the time, ranked. They were in the game until the very last play of the game. Purdue, they got blown out. Wisconsin, they got blown out. Maryland, they got blown out. And then Iowa, they get blown out. So that's where it was really difficult for Illini fans to feel like they had really taken a big step forward. If they would have finished the year with a win against Minnesota, a competitive game offensively in a shootout against Nebraska, a competitive game against Iowa, and then 8-point loss to Northwestern, which won the division, I think you would have felt a little bit better going into the season.
Our countdown to kickoff stop today, Champaign, Illinois. Talking Fighting Illini football with Jeremy Warner of ESPN Radio 93.5 in Champaign. This is year number two for Rod Smith's offense. Is there the hope there that there will be a comfort level there this year, and maybe there was just some growing pains a year ago?
Yeah, if you did a poll of Illini fans and did probably a poll of the, you know, what's the support for Lovie Smith? I think it still might be 50-50. Some people are still going to give him a little bit of time and see what happens this year. But I think Rod Smith would be in the 90 percentile because he took an offense that was absolutely terrible 2 years ago and made it very competitive. I mean, Illinois had the second-best rushing attack in the Big Ten, and they did it against great teams, good defenses in the Big Ten. They had a running quarterback, but just opening the thing up with this spread scheme, an offensive line that was full of sophomores for the most part, looked really good and took a huge step forward. And then Reggie Corbin, who had 78 yards and was buried and on the depth chart with Garrett McGee's offense coordinator, he's a breakout star. He's one of only 13 Illini players to run for 1,000 yards. So I have no doubts that Rod Smith can make this a competitive offense yet again. I think he'll actually have more talent. They brought in a couple wide receivers from USC. Their offensive line returns 4 starters and gets an Alabama grad transfer that should help. Quarterback, I think they're going to be more talented this year with Isaiah Williams, a freshman who's a dual threat guy. Brandon Peters, a former starter at Michigan, is coming in as a transfer where they really ramped things up. And they return a good group of running backs. So I don't know if they're good enough yet in the passing game to think they take a huge step forward, but I don't think they take a big step back whatsoever. So I think offensively this team can compete. I think Rod Smith showed that this team can score 25 to 30 points, and including against some Big Ten teams. Most of the questions are still in year 4 of Lovie Smith and year 3 of his recruits remains whether this defense can be competitive and give the offense a chance, because the offense scored 33 points against Maryland and got outscored by 30 points. They scored 35 at Nebraska, get outscored by 19 points. The offense is doing its job. The offense was bowl-worthy last year, and I expect it to be that way again.
You mentioned the quarterback position. Is this a battle that could sort of spill over into the non-conference schedule?
I think so. I think Isaiah Williams is what Rod Smith wants in quarterback, and he's a top 300 recruit. He had offers from everybody in the country to play wide receiver. He's kind of built like Kyler Murray, and that's what everyone will tell you is, you know, the height doesn't matter, but he's about 5'9", 5'10", on a good day probably, but he's an elite athlete. He can outrun people, and he's got an elite, elusive agility to him. He's just a video game when he's out there on the field. But he's also got a really strong arm, and he's a really great leader. And I've heard really good things since he's gotten on campus. But Brandon Peters gives them another guy with Big Ten starting experience. If he wouldn't have come in here with MJ Rivers transferring out after last year, they would have had 6 passes of experience. So Brandon Peters just kind of gives you a guy you know can handle it. I think Peters will probably be the guy to start the season, probably the best guy to get you through the non-conference unscathed, be 3-0, be a game manager. But at some point, he's going to have to prove that he can beat Big Ten teams. And the one thing that he doesn't have that Isaiah has is he just doesn't have that running ability. He's a decent athlete, but he's a pocket passer. And I think with Illinois' wide receiver group, they're going to need a quarterback that can make plays out of nothing. So it's really, the defense is probably the biggest story of the year, but obviously all eyes on the quarterback because they're going to need to have probably an effective offense. And both those guys pretty unproven at the Big Ten level.
How about at the skill positions? There doesn't look like there's a whole lot of turnover at running back and wide receiver. Lots of veteran guys coming back.
Yeah, if you look at most of the Big Ten list, and I'm glad they have this, they have the running backs at Illinois as like a top half group, and I think that's right. I think this Illinois running back group is the best position they have. I think this is a group that could produce at Wisconsin. I think this is a group that could, you know, produce at Iowa. You know, Reggie Corbin's one of those guys who can just make people miss, and he showed a surprising ability to, make the long play. He made most of his yards on long runs, which had kind of been his weakness before. He couldn't run away from people. So he's that kind of player that I think is a big-time playmaker that they need. But they also have guys behind him who have been productive. Now, some they've been injury-prone, but Mike Epstein in 12 games in 2 years has more than 700 yards rushing at 5 yards a clip. Ravon Bonner last year in a limited role had 5 yards a clip. You know, Dre Brown is probably the best combination of size and speed at the running back position. He's had a lot of injuries, but he's shown he can be productive in the Big Ten. So I think running backs are their strongest group. I think their run blocking is really good up front. Their pass blocking, they got to prove a little bit more. The wide receiver group is the one I was most concerned about, along with quarterback, coming out of spring camp, because I saw one real Big Ten starting wide receiver, in Ricky Smalling. The rest of the group wasn't very good. But since then, they've added two kids out of USC, Trayvon Sidney and Josh Uiagalelei, who are former top 200 prospects, two guys that seemed like USC really liked them and thought they could break through, but each of them had injury issues. Sidney's more of a slot receiver. Uiagalelei is just a physical freak who's got a 40-inch vertical and big, strong kid. Probably we're going to struggle to play at USC again this year, but some people at USC thought they could have broken through in their new offense. So they're definite Big Ten talents, and it gives Illinois some hope that they could be solid at that group. But the passing game is really the thing that's unproven on the Illinois offense.
I have to ask about the prize recruit out of the state of Texas. Has the Marquez Beeson hype train started, and could we see a true freshman getting snaps on both sides of the ball?
It's possible. Lovie Smith says he's going to play corner, and I can understand that, but they could really use him at wide receiver too. They could use him at both positions, but he's the kind of athlete Illinois hasn't had. Actually, Isaiah Williams is getting more of the publicity because he's a local kid out of St. Louis, and he's playing quarterback. But, yeah, people really excited about Beeson, who could have picked really anywhere in the country, and he just bought into Lovie Smith and what they're trying to do here, and you know, he's trying to be one of those Pied Pipers who gets something going at Illinois. So Illinois doesn't have guys like him with his speed. It's under 4.5 with his length. And he just brings a swagger, too, that I think Illinois lacks. So they don't have a lot of depth at corner. I think he's going to compete for a starting spot. They return a couple starters there in Quan Martin and Nate Hobbs, who I think are both really going to be playmakers this year. So I think he's going to play at corner, but they could use him at receiver. And I think an area where he really could make an impact, too, is as a kick and punt returner where Illinois has really struggled. So, yeah, he'll get on the field because Illinois doesn't get top 100 talents here that often, and he was a huge gift for them.
Any other names to keep an eye on as far as newcomers this year when Hawkeye fans are following along with the Illini?
Yeah, there's a couple more transfers that they've had. I've mentioned Peters and the two wide receivers, but they got a couple guys on defense as well. Wally Batiku is a former five-star prospect that was at USC. Again, Illinois kind of got this USC East thing going on because they got a couple staffers who used to coach there. But Wally Batiku looks the part of a five-star prospect, but again, had some injury things. Some people questioned how USC used him as a 3-4 outside linebacker. He'll put his hand on the ground, rush the passer, and I'm sure a lot of people there have heard about Illinois lost its best player in a terrible accident. Bobby Rountree suffered a spinal cord injury in a swimming accident near his home in Tampa, and he's their best player. He was going to be possibly an NFL draft pick after his junior season, and they lost him. They got a lot of bodies there. They got some depth, but they need some playmakers. So Wally Batiku could be another one of those. Another transfer they're bringing is Neil Eifler at linebacker, another former top 200 kid that was at Washington. He's going to compete for a starting job. I don't know if he'll get one because Illinois kind of likes what they have at linebacker, but those are two more guys who could make an impact defensively where Illinois really needs a lot of help.
Jeremy, had things gotten so bad on the defensive side of the football that Lovie Smith had no choice but to take full reins and name himself the defensive coordinator?
That's a great question, and I'll answer it with, I love that he did it, personally, because if he was going to stick to his defense, which I still don't know if that's the right thing to do, but if you're going to do it, put it on yourself, right? I mean, who else is a better teacher, a better play caller than yourself, who's had tons of success in the NFL calling it? Hardy Nickerson was a big name when they hired him as defense coordinator. It was a travesty of a defense. The kids always looked ill-prepared. Now, they were younger. It's been a young team that just isn't physically up to the task yet. But last year, there's no reason they should be getting blown off the field, and there's no reason that a team that was older actually was worse than they were a bunch of freshmen on the field. So it just wasn't clicking. They were a little bit better when Lovie Smith called plays last year. They had a couple good games, couple good performances outside of the Iowa one where the tight ends just crushed them. But I like that if he wasn't going to go with a guy who's bringing in a 3-4 and just scrapping the whole thing, which wouldn't have made too much sense because they were recruiting for a 4-3 in Lovie's scheme, then why not just make yourself that? But I like it. He's put pressure on himself. He said, yeah, it's on me to turn this thing around. So this is obviously a huge year for his tenure. If they want to recruit well moving forward, they got to win some games, and a bowl game would do wonders for them.
Jeremy, always appreciate you chatting and filling us in on the Fighting Illini, and we'll see you in a couple weeks in Chicago. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Jeremy Warner, 24/7 Sports, also on 93.5 ESPN Radio in Champaign-Urbana. November 23rd, you can put it on your calendar now if you're an Iowa football fan. The Fighting Illini coming to Kinnick Stadium looking to improve, and they're isn't a whole lot that they can't improve on after losing to the Hawkeyes 63-0 a year ago.
That was as lifeless of a performance as I saw from any team last year. That performance at home, I get it was cold, I get it was rainy, but they look like they didn't want to be there. They had no business being on the field with Iowa that day. And like Jeremy said, they took some steps last year forward, especially offensively. But the biggest question mark is, you have a defensive-minded coach who has really made his brand on being an innovator of defense, and the program had one of the worst defenses in college football last year. If they want to improve, that defense has to improve a ton.
I am intrigued by the transfers, and
right.
Obviously if Luke Ford would have been available as well at tight end, they could have had another weapon transferring in on the offensive side of the ball. When I look at the Fighting Illini, and this is not a good football team, I think everybody can pretty much agree on that. The biggest question mark for them, and Jeremy hit on it, they don't have much experience at all at the one position that you need experience at most often in the Big Ten, and that's quarterback. And until they get that situation sorted out, you can't have a whole lot of faith in what Illinois is going to be able to pull off this year. But this is make or break, right, for Lovie Smith?
I think that they will let him stay through the end of his contract. I think that he'll get, if they win five games this year, four or five games, as long as they don't go 0-4 and are completely embarrassed, he will get one more chance next year to try to prove himself and get this team to a bowl game, especially with a true freshman quarterback and a defense. But I do think with all the transfers that they have coming in, he feels the heat and feels the need to improve right now to do that. But a true freshman quarterback and not a lot of receivers around him to speak of, it's not a great recipe. Although I do agree, I think they have a very, very good running back group led by Reggie Corbin, who I thought might go to the NFL last year.
That's today's stop on the countdown to kickoff. Tomorrow, we head north to the land of 10,000 lakes where you can row, row, row your boat. P.J. Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers will come into view. Stop number 4 on the countdown to kickoff, Minnesota. Tune in tomorrow. And just a reminder, we'll take a break from the countdown to kickoff on Thursday because we're not going to be on the air Thursday. No local programming due to the 4th of July, but we will rejoin you beginning at 3 o'clock with the gym class on Friday. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery here in Cedar Rapids. At Third Base, you're practically home. We'll take a quick timeout. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And now a word from Andrew's boss, Dave.
Thank you, and may I say, what a beautiful service. My favorite Andrew memory was when he came in to interview. He told me he got a bachelor's in whatever accountants get, and I figured some of his college buddies might be here who got the same thing and need a job. Wow.
I think you should leave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
When you purchase your parts at O'ReillyAuto.com, you can pick it up in-store when it's convenient for you. Your parts, tools, or accessories will be waiting at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. No shipping cost, easy returns, and convenient pickup. Shop O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports! You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at ModernOil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $35.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot means up to 40% off appliance special buys. Plus, up to $600 in extra savings instantly on select appliances. Get an entire GE counter-depth kitchen package for under $2,900. No rebate, no hassle, no kidding. Today is the day for doing. Red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. Gas extra. See store for details. Valid through July 10th.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, tired and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try a free bottle of Ageless Male Max, a Walmart bestseller, with an ingredient shown to increase testosterone. Yes, it's now that easy. And when added to workouts, this ingredient has shown more gains in muscle and twice the reduction in body fat percentage. Plus, you get an added ingredient with a long history of being used for libido. Try Ageless Male Max free. Just text the word BIG to 606060. If you're ready to support more energy, more strength, and more confidence, text BIG to 606060. Text BIG to 606060.
Guys know more is better. So this month, Sport Clips Haircuts is thanking our clients with a Sport Clips Instant Replay. It's double the MVP experience for the price of a single. So after your fresh cut, we double your relaxing massaging shampoo and our legendary hot steam towel. You can even turn your hot towel into a refreshing chilled towel to get the MVP on ice. Instant Replay. It's the MVP on repeat. Download the Sport Clips app and check in online today.
Golden Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
I am telling you, it's been a long time since I've had an exhilarating feeling like getting that hotel room booked, even though it was 24 hours after the Big Ten's deadline for Big Ten Football Media Day. That's what passes for excitement and happiness in my life at this point.
Small favors, Todd.
Let's see if that link is still live. Oh, there's no way they've still got rooms. Nailed it. Big Ten Football Media Day coming up the 18th and 19th of this month. We'll be broadcasting from the Hilton in Chicago on Michigan Avenue both days. Look forward to that and look forward to continuing the countdown to kickoff, as we mentioned, tomorrow. We'll get a preview of P.J. Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, is it time to shake things up with the Chicago Cubs? And shake things up is rather up for discussion. We'll leave it at that. How comfortable is Joe Maddon right now? Pretty comfortable, according to his comments earlier today. He held his annual All-Star Break address with the team. Was playing 500 baseball if you take out all of the games against the Marlins. But maybe that goes to underscore a question that I know we're going to discuss coming up in a little bit as well. Is the National League Central really good, just beating up on each other, or is it just a mediocre division? Did we overestimate the Central coming into the season? We'll get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, Caesars Palace has spoken. The regular season win totals for the Power 5 conferences are out. We did something similar to this with the offshore lines, but Vegas oftentimes has a slightly different view of teams. Alex and I are going to run down, at first glance, win totals for every team in the Big Ten. We're going to try to figure out which one we like the most, and we invite you to participate as well. Just pretend that you've got a big stack of Monopoly money in front of you and can go to Las Vegas and plop it down on one of those over-unders, and we'll get along just fine for the next 15, 20 minutes. In the 6 o'clock hour tonight, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com will be with us as well. I'm sure we'll discuss a lot of NL Central topics with him. Also, Patrick Corbin of the Washington Nationals, former Cedar Rapids Colonel and former teammate and best friend of Tyler Skaggs, the now late Angels pitcher, changing his uniform number from his traditional 46 to Skaggs' 45 tonight for his start with the Nationals as a way to pay tribute to his fallen friend and former teammate. And again, sad day yesterday for the Cedar Rapids Colonels and a lot of the baseball world as we mourn the passing of Tyler Skaggs. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We'll get to your thoughts on a number of things as well coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. You won't be seeing UConn coach Kevin Ollie for 3 seasons. The NCAA Committee on Infractions today effectively sidelining him for 3 years, but not delivering any significant sanctions to UConn's men's basketball program. So Kevin Ollie gets the old Bruce Pearl treatment, which means after a couple of years, he'll just be the next head coach of the Auburn Tigers, right? That's how that works. Kyle Mann, our producer, is going to have a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber coming up in the next 25 minutes as well. All that and more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. It's the Todd Rollicamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi, the United States, one win away from back-to-back titles at the Women's World Cup. Alex Morgan, Kristen Presser each scored. Alyssa Nair with a terrific save on a penalty kick in the 84th minute. The Americans won their semifinal match against England 2-1 and are on to Sunday's final. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott issued a statement regarding his meeting with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Said he made a poor decision in Las Vegas back in May and needs to work harder, not putting himself in such situations. Elliott was briefly detained, but was not arrested in his second off-field incident. He's looking for an extension this summer. Dallas should pay Elliott market value for a running back, but limit those guarantees, advises ESPN's Mike Tannenbaum.
I would give him that average per year because he certainly has earned it from an on-field performance. However, the guarantees would be significantly lower. Again, he's had multiple off-field indiscretions, so I would make him assume some of the risks. So if there was a third incident, we can move on and not have any more dead money on our salary cap.
An MRI showed Cubs lefty Cole Hamels has a left oblique strain. Timetable for his return set after the All-Star break.
Coming up Wednesday, the latest from NBA free agency. Where in the world is Kawhi going? What's the plan for the Lakers? Plus, how else can the Knicks manage to screw things up? And a Women's World Cup standings update. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Get ready for the holiday weekend. If your check engine light is on, now's the time to find out why. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let us scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Twins and the A's open up a three-game series tonight out west. Hi, this is Corey Provost. Join Chris and Danny for the call. 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 5:03, welcome back or welcome to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. The same can be said for 106.3 FM, our South Gym frequency in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, online at kgymradio.com. More to come on the program, including plenty of baseball discussion. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com set to be with us inside the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also tackle whether or not it's time to shake things up with the Chicago Cubs, who seem to be playing listless baseball right now heading into the All-Star break. Kyle Hendricks returns to the mound tonight as the Cubs take on the Pirates. All that and more. Your texts and phone calls welcome also. 319-366-1600. The big sports story today, the U.S. Women's National Team beating England 2-1 to advance to its third consecutive World Cup Finals. They will take on either Sweden or the Netherlands this weekend for the title. Lots to get to. As we mentioned, college football is in the discussion here during the Countdown to Kickoff series leading us up to Big Ten Media Days later this month in Chicago. As a matter of fact, we've got a couple listeners on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line who have reached out to say thank you for talking college football in the middle of the summer when there isn't a whole lot to sink your teeth into. Honest to God, that's part of the reason 8-9 years ago that we created the Countdown to Kickoff, was to give people something to sort of satiate that thirst for college football before camp opens up and before things get going in late August and early September. Another way to keep that in the forefront is to take whatever Las Vegas gives you. And in this particular instance, today is the day that Caesars has released its regular season win totals. Now, Alex, these are regular season win totals. Don't go getting cute on me trying to throw a bowl victory in there. Or in the example of the national champion, you could pick up two more wins on your season ledger. These are regular season win totals only. I thought it would be fun or perhaps entertaining, loosely using that term here, if we ran down every team in the Big Ten and without giving any sort of thoughts whatsoever on the roster or the schedule, just let's call this first blush. At first blush, you give me the over-under, and I will also give you my thoughts on the over-under. And then at the end, we'll try to figure out which one we really, 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 really like. And we invite you to participate at home as well. 319-366-1600. We'll start with Minnesota. According to Caesars, and Minnesota will be the team that we preview tomorrow on the Countdown to Kickoff, the Golden Gophers are a 7.5 win team for betting purposes. First blush, over under.
My first blush tells me under. They're going to be right at 7.
I'll go under as well. Michigan State, 8.
I'm going to say under once again. I'm not happy with where their quarterback play is right now.
Under. Purdue 7.
I'm going to go over. I like Purdue to be a surprise team.
I'm going to say that Purdue winds up as a push at 7, but over would not surprise me there. We are in complete agreement so far through 3, so take what I said about this being an entertaining segment and just forget about it. Rutgers, 2.5.
I'm going to go under.
Rutgers, 2 wins or fewer this year.
Yes.
I'm going to play the percentages there. Over. And again, this first, just don't have the schedule in front of me. They got to win 3, right? Wisconsin, 8.
This is the toughest one. First blush, I'm going to say push.
I'm going to say right. If you had to lean one way or the other.
Okay. I will go over.
I'm going to go over as well there, and I think we'll circle back to that one in just a little bit. Illinois, which is the team that we previewed on the countdown to kickoff earlier today with Jeremy Werner of 24/7 Sports, also on 93.5 ESPN Radio in Champaign-Urbana. Illinois' over-under, according to Caesars, is 4 wins. Did he sell you on 5 or more wins for the Illini?
Sure, why not? I'll take Illinois winning 5 games. I'll go over.
I'm going to say I'll go over there as well, and just for the sake of the segment as I constructed it. Indiana, 6 wins.
Under.
Go under there as well. Iowa, 7.5.
Over.
I'll lean over there also. Maryland, 3.5.
Under.
As much as I would like to say under there, I'll go over. Michigan, 10.5.
Under.
I'll go under there as well. Nebraska, opening line, 8.5 wins.
Under.
I'll go under as well. We had Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald on yesterday during the countdown to kickoff. He said 7, 8, 9 if everything goes extremely well, 7 or fewer if things don't. Northwestern, 6.
Easy. Over.
See, I'm tempted to say that as well. Northwestern's one of those teams everybody always underestimates year in and year out. Ohio State, no Urban Meyer at the helm, 10-win season. 10-win regular season.
Until further notice with Ohio State. And this, okay, so regular season, this would not count the Big Ten championship game either, right?
Correct.
I'm going to say...
So they're a minimum of 10-2.
I'm going to say under.
And Penn State, 8.5.
Under.
Under there as well. Now, again, no schedules in front of me, and that's why I didn't want to overthink this. I just wanted first reaction. You hear a number, and you say over, under. And hopefully you were paying attention at home as well, because what we would like from you is to know, if I gave you $1,000 and put you on a plane for Las Vegas tonight out of the Eastern Iowa airport, and the only thing that I demanded of you was that you had to place only one wager. You had to put the entire grand down on one of these numbers. Which would it be? Over unders. 319-366-1600. And don't say Iowa. Over 7.5. That's the easiest thing. Of course, a ton of Hawkeye fans are listening to the program. Everybody's going to say over. If the situation applied here, I gave you $1,000, Alex, and I said, go to Las Vegas. I trust your judgment. You are Mr. College Football. Plop that $1,000 on one of these over-unders. Which one stuck out to you the most there?
Can you give me the number on Maryland once again?
Maryland was 3.5.
3.5? Ugh. If it was at 4.5. Then I would absolutely take the under on Maryland. I'm tempted because you know they hired Mike Loxley as their head coach, correct?
And he is not a very good
head coach. He's coached 34 games at the Division I level. He's been the head coach for 34 games. Can you tell me how many games he's won in those 34 games?
I want to say it's in the single digits.
It is in the single digits. Three. He's 3-31 as a head coach.
Well, my apologies for overshooting his total there.
This is a Maryland program that was already in disarray, and they won 5 games last year. They lose a first-round pick in Darnell Savage to the Green Bay Packers. They didn't have a quarterback. Now they have to completely change the system that they had under Ryan, or oh gosh darn it, what was that the offensive coordinator's name? Matt Canada. I think that Maryland wins less than 3.5 games. I think they're going to be awful this year because Mike Loxley as a head coach has been awful.
Well, let's see at first blush if this holds up, because now taking a deeper dive, here's what Maryland's schedule looks like. You said under, right?
Yes.
Under 3.5. They open against Howard.
When?
At home. Then they play Syracuse.
Loss.
It's a home game for them, though.
Syracuse won 10 games last year.
Okay. Okay. At Temple.
Loss.
Penn State.
Loss.
At Rutgers.
Win.
At Purdue.
Loss.
Indiana.
I'll give them a win there.
At Minnesota.
Loss.
Michigan.
Loss.
At Ohio State.
Loss.
Nebraska.
Loss.
At Michigan State.
Loss.
So what'd you come up with? 3?
Came up with 3.
Nailed it. 319-366-1600. The very first 2 responses that we got hit on the exact same number. Northwestern over 6.
See, I was going to take that one. I wanted to leave that one to the listeners because that one seems like stealing. 6 for Northwestern?
Northwestern is one of those teams that year in and year out seems to be perpetually underrated for whatever reason. Pat Fitzgerald can have that team winning 7 or 8 games if everything breaks its way. It wouldn't surprise me. Under 6 wins for Northwestern, wouldn't go anywhere near that. What's their...
All right, you ready? You ready to play their pocket schedule
yeah.
game?
Yeah. Turn it around and do this to me.
Stanford on the road,
loss.
UNLV at home,
win. I like UNLV. That's 2 time zone difference.
Yes.
So if that's an 11 a.m. kickoff, UNLV is playing that game at like 9 in the morning. So
kicking off Big Ten play week 3 against Michigan State at home,
win.
Wisconsin on the road.
I think that's going to be a loss.
Okay.
But I'm not high on Wisconsin.
Nebraska on the road.
Loss.
Ohio State at home.
Loss.
Iowa at home.
Win.
3. Indiana on the road.
Should be a win.
Purdue at home.
Probably a loss.
UMass at home.
Win.
Minnesota at home.
Win.
Illinois on the road.
Win.
That's 7.
So it's maybe a stretch to get to 7, but
I think they're going to win one of those 2 games against Wisconsin or Nebraska on the road. They always find a way to win one of those types of games.
Who's mad out there right now that I said Iowa loses to Northwest? Somebody's got to be mad. It's all we do. We get mad at Megan Rapinoe. We get mad at Pedro Strop or Yasiel Puig. We get mad at the radio guy for saying, well, Iowa tends to sometimes not play well in that game at Ryan Field. Then there's other times where Akram Wadley's running all over him up and down the field, and it's a special season. I don't know. I don't know what we're in for this year. But Iowa at Northwestern?
The other one that stuck out to me was Purdue. What were they at, 8?
Purdue was 7.
7. I have them going over. And you look at their schedule, Nevada on the road, win. Vanderbilt at home, win. TCU.
Oh, Purdue at Nevada?
At Nevada.
Well, bad things happen to the Big Ten when you take them west of the Rocky Mountains.
That's true.
Remember that.
I still like them at Nevada. at home against Vanderbilt. I like that as a win. TCU at home, toss-up game. I'm going to say it's a win. Minnesota at home, win. Penn State on the road, I'll give it a loss, I guess. Maryland at home, win. Iowa on the road, loss. Illinois at home, win. Nebraska at home, win. Northwestern on the road, loss. Wisconsin on the road, I'm going to go ahead and say win. Indiana at home, win. That's 9 wins.
You got 9 wins for Purdue.
I think Purdue takes a big step forward this year.
Our pal Mike Carmen at the paper in West Lafayette will really enjoy John James and the Outback Bowl media hospitality room if Purdue wins 9 games.
What are the odds that Iowa goes back to the Outback Bowl this season?
0. They can't.
They can't? It's literally a rule? Are you sure?
Yes, because it's the six-year contract, and you get 5 different... They chose to take Iowa. They doubled up on Iowa in the 6-year window. So they have to take a team that they have not had this coming season. And I don't believe, given Purdue's track record under Daryl Hazel and the start of the Jeff Brohm era there, that Purdue has been even close to sniffing the Outback Bowl.
You sure that the Outback Bowl cannot amend the rules, file an appeal?
They probably would if they could. If Iowa were there as an 8-win team, I think maybe the Outback Bowl would be pleading its case to ignore the rules there. But that marriage, by the way, between Iowa and the Outback Bowl, I know it drives people nuts. And we talked last year about Outback Bowl fatigue. It's a good bowl game. Didn't get the TV ratings that the Alamo Bowl did, but Iowa won its bowl game. Fewer people watched it. None of that matters. None of it should matter. Did the kid who committed today, the Iowa kid out of Carroll Kemper that committed to Nebraska, was he aware of the viewership numbers for the Alamo Bowl? I know Iowa State made a hard run at him. That's something you've got to keep an eye on here. It has not happened all that often with top Iowa talent going to Nebraska. It's been the other way around. Although, you know, Drew Ott, I still go back to Big Ten Football Media Days several years ago, and one of the Omaha radio hosts said that losing Drew Ott to Iowa should have been what cost Bo Pelini his job. What really cost Bo Pelini his job was people sort of bristled at his personality, and he wasn't winning quite enough. But he was like, he lost Drew Ott to Iowa. Should have lost his job for that. And he's also, by the way, the same Nebraska radio personality who gave us the backstory on Doug and Daddy and sort of launched that into the stratosphere and made that a thing. So if you want to get mad at anybody, you get mad at Damon Benning. 520 here in Eastern Iowa, 319-366-1600, a hypothetical $1,000. You get to go to Las Vegas and wager it on any of those over-unders. What's the easy money? 319-366-1600. Minnesota under 7.5.
I would say they're going to go under 7.5. I'm not sold on them. I don't think they've had a particularly good offseason. They've had some transfers. PJ Fleck has been in the news a little bit. They got to a bowl game last year. They won a bowl game last year. I will say 7 total wins in 2019 for Minnesota, including a bowl victory.
They open on a Thursday night against South Dakota State. That's a tough game.
It is. But
South Dakota State's a good program. Then they travel the next week to Fresno State. And that game is set for a late kickoff.
They're going to lose that game.
Big Ten teams west of the Rocky Mountains. By the time September 7th rolls around, you can legally wager on that game here in the state of Iowa. And I'm telling you right now, on July 2nd, Minnesota's going to lose that game to Fresno State.
Fresno State is good, too. Jeff Tedford has done a fantastic job there.
Georgia Southern.
Or win.
That's a win. So at best case scenario right now, they're 2-1. But I still think South Dakota State has a little bit of that North Dakota State-Iowa matchup to it there. So with great trepidation, we now get into Big Ten play for the Gophers. They open at Purdue. You already said that's a
loss.
Win for Purdue.
Yeah, it's a loss for Minnesota.
Back-to-back home games against Illinois and Nebraska.
One win, one loss.
Okay. At Rutgers.
Win.
So are we at four?
Yes.
Maryland and Penn State, back-to-back home games.
One win, one loss.
We're at five. At Iowa, at Northwestern, home against Wisconsin.
One win.
Under. Easily.
7.5?
7.5. And that's, by the way, that taking into account beating South Dakota State, right?
Yes.
We had them at 6. So they could be even worse. Could be a 5-win team if South Dakota State pulls off the upset. Fresno State. You know what? 5:23, I very rarely do this right now. Normally I would make you call a phone number. Normally I would make you link a PayPal account or give me a credit card number. But I like you folks. July 2nd, 2019, Todd Brommelkamp's lock of the season. Okay, we only give this out once a year. I'll say that every single week for the rest of the season. My lock of the year. And I haven't even seen the spread yet. Don't even know if it's released because not all spreads are out there yet, just the so-called games of the year. And I can't imagine anybody would claim Minnesota at Fresno State as a game of the year. Fresno State will be favored in that. Fresno State could obliterate Minnesota. I'm just thinking back to Iowa going to Arizona State. Bad, bad, bad juju for Big Ten teams going west of the Rocky Mountains. You change two time zones and you're going west. Pretty much a win for whoever you're playing.
319. Smoking Todd Brommelkamp's lock of the year.
Todd's corner. Koken's corner. Todd's something or other. I don't know. 366. I do have the blog at KGYMradio.com, which I have not done anything with in a very long time. But once football season gets rolling and maybe leading up to Big Ten media days, I'll revive the blog. But there you go. Lock of the... don't be afraid to get divorced over this when you lose all your money. You're not going to lose all your money because it's a lock, and locks never lose, or so you feel. At least when you're placing the wager, you feel it's a mortal lock. Never going to lose. No way, no how. Sometimes, but not in this instance. No way Minnesota wins that game. 319-366-1600. They don't even have to. No way they cover the spread, whatever it is, because as Alex said, Fresno State's going to be favored. Kyle's going to join us on the other side of this break. We'll squeeze in a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. And then, is it time to shake up the Cubs? What can Joe Maddon and company do to get that team going on the north side of Chicago? 319-366-1600, all that and more on the way after this. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, online at kgymradio.com.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
As Maury Povich would say, the results are back. Cole Hamels has an oblique strain according to an MRI he underwent earlier this week. That's not ideal news for the Cubs, but it's not catastrophic either. Hamels will undergo treatment through the All-Star break before the team evaluates a plan of action with regard to a rehab schedule. As Hamels hits the injured list, Kyle Hendricks returns to the active roster. The professor will start tonight's game in Pittsburgh in his first action back since dealing with shoulder inflammation during a June 14th start. He'll be on a limit of 60 to 75 pitches per media reports. Also joining the Cubs at PNC Park tonight will be former Colonels hurler Randy Rosario. The lefty reliever will bolster the bullpen prior to the All-Star break. Rowan Wick and Adbert Alzolay return to AAA Iowa in corresponding roster moves.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions.
they'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Even though it's a holiday week, the city of Cedar Rapids reminds you that there's no delay in garbage recycling or yard waste collection. So set your carts at the curb by 7 a.m. on your regular collection day. Never miss another garbage pickup. Sign up for text and email alerts before every holiday or collection interruption at crnewsnow.com.
Twins and the A's open up a three-game series tonight out west. Hi, this is Corey Provost. Join Chris and Danny for the call. 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:28, the Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday afternoon here in eastern Iowa. Just a reminder, no local programming on Thursday for the 4th of July. But that doesn't mean we can't be a part of your existence. The Coralville 4th Fest Parade is that day. Alex is going to be participating in that, driving the KGYM pickup truck.
In the air conditioning.
And the, yeah, well, you got to roll down the window. You got to be a man of the people. You can't hang out like the...
Does this parade allow the throwing of things?
Very few do nowadays. Very few parades allow you to throw anything, which is really unfortunate because I think many of us came of age, really went from being a child to a young adult by enjoying the thrill of trying to race out in front of a slow-moving vehicle or tractor to grab a one-cent Tootsie Roll. If you did that growing up, it was part of your rite of passage into almost adulthood. You successfully retrieved the Tootsie Roll before the Cahaba Shriners came through in their little cars as they zigzag all over the place. You were on your way to being a grown-up.
That was most of the appeal of going to a parade. Otherwise, it's just slow-moving vehicles with people on top of them driving by.
It's very exhilarating.
Isn't that fun to watch
when you're 7 or 8 years old to dart out in front of a moving car to grab a sucker?
Done it many times.
How much is your life worth in terms of candy? That's how most of us grew up asking ourselves that very same question. 319-366-1600. Throw the damn candy. Get kicked out of the parade. I don't care. I'm going to get in trouble for saying it. Don't listen to me. I'm not the coordinator of the parade efforts here. Follow the rules, right? Right, Kyle? Follow the rules.
Is that kind of like our running of the bulls? Once a year around the country, we all have our kids run out in front of tractors?
Not anymore, because it's not safe. Follow the rules, and according to a couple people on the text line, keep your mouth shut. That was Megan Rapinoe's one fault. She didn't keep her mouth shut. Because as we know, on Thursday, we're celebrating the ability to not speak our minds and enjoy the fact that we live in a free country.
Mind your business.
Mind your business. Keep your thoughts to yourself and don't throw candy at parades. Happy 4th of July. Kyle's with us to bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their temporary location in Iowa City, 2802 Independence Road. Or you can check out the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
The Iowa football team announced its leadership group today, consisting of 18 seniors. It doesn't always work out that way, but the veteran group includes the likes of Nate Stanley, Brady Reeve, Cedric Lattimore, Michael Ojemudia, Amani Jones, Christian Welch, Drew Cook, the Paulsons, Brady Ross, and Colton Rastetter, and that group was voted on by the team. Iowa State guard Tyrese Haliburton and the Team USA under 19 team played the final preliminary round game today at the FIBA World Cup in Greece. Haliburton once again led the team in minutes in an 87-54 victory over Senegal, but sat back scoring wise as they spread the ball around. He actually went scoreless, attempting only two shots with four assists, three boards, and a block. They'll begin the round of 16 tomorrow against Latvia. We got a little in-state recruiting news this afternoon, and not exactly good news for most of you. Three-star, 6'5", 250-pound defensive end Blaze Gunnarsson is the second-ranked recruit in the state of in the class of 2022, and this morning the Carroll Kuemper product committed to Scott Frost and Nebraska. The Hawkeyes extended an offer, but the Cyclones had reportedly been in particularly hot pursuit. The Colonels are beginning a four-game split home-and-home series on the road in Burlington today. First pitch is set for 6:30 tonight and tomorrow before returning to Cedar Rapids on the 4th. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and A's from Oakland. First pitch is set for around 9, and we'll pick up coverage at 8:30 on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
319-366-1600 if you would like to use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line to reach out to us, as many of you did during that last segment with the hypothetical betting of the money on the over-unders. There was a lot of love during that segment for Northwestern, and a lot of people saying Nebraska was a lock.
Over?
Under.
Under. Okay.
Under. I want to get the text here from Marcus before we move on to the Cubs. We were talking about Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. Women's National Team in the 4 o'clock hour, and the fact that there are people out there that are not big fans of hers, which I don't think comes as a shock to anybody, especially in 2019. Marcus says, this is a text on the Hertin and Stocker text line. After having this conversation with many friends, it all came down to don't be playing for a team that has the flag on its uniform and the team name USA and then start saying negative things about the other things that represent our country. Freedom of speech does not mean freedom of repercussions of your words. I would take the exact opposite tact of that. I would think wearing that uniform and wearing that flag, does that not symbolize all of that? Should you have to be in lockstep with everybody else in order to claim the American flag as your own? I think most people would say no. Can you only embrace the flag if you have the same set of values or the same opinions as every other human being? We don't live in an autonomous society where everybody feels the same way about everything. Thank God. I mean, I can't imagine living life like that. So I don't pretend to be an expert on Megan Rapinoe, a player whose name I couldn't even pronounce 2 weeks ago because I was really not planning on paying any attention to soccer, women's or men's. By the way, don't come at me with being sexist either, because the women, I'll sort of follow along just because they're decent. The men are god-awful. They're not even worthy of my time. I just find the reaction to her somewhat problematic.
I also don't buy into the fact when people say it's not about the message, it's about the delivery. It's a find another avenue, find another way, whatever. No, it's completely about the message. You can come at me with any argument. You disagree with what she's saying, and you don't like her saying it. It's really that simple. I'm not going to try to sit here and act like it's something else. You can try to convince me of that. You all know that you don't agree with what she's saying, and you didn't like her saying it, and that's why you're not happy. Can we all agree that that's the case?
The best part about this is she's one of the best players on the team. So you have people out there who are, they want to see the United States win, but they want to see her fail. or not participate. She didn't play today. She's got a balky hamstring, and according to reports after today's match, she would really like to be able to play in the finals, but she's just not quite sure whether it's going to be a go or not.
It's tough to play, to be running for an hour and a half on a bad hamstring.
Well, especially, you know, if you have to take a dive or something, the way that those soccer players do. Again, not a soccer person by any stretch of the imagination, watched the game today and saw the English player go down and immediately said, she didn't even touch her. When did that become a thing in soccer? Has that always been?
Oh, the diving?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Absolutely. And people sort of like,
I can't take it seriously.
People liken it to the NBA. No, it's not even the NBA. Guys don't dive like that in the NBA.
I can't take that sport seriously because if you get breathed on wrong, and it's
so frustrating.
It's the flailing of the arms and the popping up and immediately staring at the official looking for a reaction.
Like, they do that before they even hit the ground. While they're falling to the ground, they're looking to the official flailing their arms in the air.
The WWE is better choreographed. And the storylines are probably better now that Paul Heyman's involved. 319-366-1600. I don't know why I keep going back to the... I don't know why I keep going back to this well, because it's an uncomfortable well to drink from. That... I understand that the topic doesn't exactly elicit the warm and fuzzies with a number of people who listen to this program. And it doesn't exactly elicit warm and fuzzies with me either. But it would be really boring if we just sat here and ate our flavorless crackers and drank tap water. From time to time, you got to spice things up a little bit. A little flavor goes a long way. And a little amount of Megan Rapinoe apparently goes a very long way. And no one's upset about Morgan celebrating the goal by pretending to sip tea. Now imagine that happening during a baseball game and how the old school baseball fans, I didn't see anybody complaining about Morgan trolling the Brits today.
The Brits were not happy.
Well, scoreboard. But imagine the same people who love that now do that in another sport. Do that in the batter's box, and heads would explode.
Like hit a home run and sip tea to the crowd. Like they were in London last weekend.
It's the exact same thing as flipping a bat, and people have a problem with that. But you know, again, slap a flag on it, and everybody loves it. 319-366-1600. How do you fix the Cubs right now? That was the original intent of the segment. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is coming up with us in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm sweating profusely right now. I don't know whether the heat got turned up here in the studio or I'm just really, really nervous walking a fine line talking about Megan Rapinoe.
Because I'm also sweating.
Because if you lose your balance... just the tiniest, slightest amount, then it skews over into the overtly political, and then that's when you face the firing squad. So you're telling me I'm sweating profusely because it did suddenly spike in temperature
it's hot in here.
Okay,
that's why you're sweating.
Whew. I was worried that we were tiptoeing up to that line and crossing over it. The Cubs. Cubs are not very good right now. The entire National League Central is just sort of blah. And I know Scott and Mark talked about this on the gym class earlier today after wading through the U.S. Women's National Team and the Megan Rapinoe aspect of things. Is the National League Central beating up on one another? Or is the National League Central just a bunch of mediocre teams? 319-366-1600, and more importantly, or more specifically, how do you shake up a team as lifeless as the Chicago Cubs right now? We had Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 on the program last week, and we were talking with him after the one of the losses to the Atlanta Braves, the 3-2 loss. And I asked him, was that a bad loss or was that just a, what was the other example there? The bad loss or tough loss? He said bad loss. And they've got too many bad losses right now. Something needs to be done to light a spark under that team. And I don't know what it is. Outside of trading somebody who's really popular in the clubhouse, or, I mean, is that how you shake? You can't fire Joe Maddon right now, in my opinion, although the surest way to do anything in baseball, the easiest way out to light a fire is to fire the manager. I think we saw that with the Cardinals last year when they finally ousted Mike Matheny and turned things over to Mike Schilt. They got a shot in the arm from that. So
it was temporary, but they got a shot in the arm from that, yes.
Madden's in the final year of his contract. I still think he's such an important part of the zen in that clubhouse that if you got rid of him, I don't think the players would respond all that well to putting an interim manager in there.
It'd be a wake-up call.
I've seen suggestions for trading Kyle Schwarber. I've seen suggestions for trading Addison Russell. I've seen people say trade Albert Almora.
My question:
what are you going to get back for?
That's the question.
What are you? You're not. The time to trade Kyle Schwarber was after the 2016 season. He made that miraculous comeback and played in the World Series and knocked the cover off the ball as the designated hitter in the American League ballpark. The time to trade him was peak value after the 2016 season. And unfortunately, because the front office views him as sort of an adopted child, he's got most favored child status with the Cubs front office, they held on to him. And now he is what he is. And that's the problem to me, is this team has a lot of guys who are what they are. Kyle Schwarber is not the star that everybody thought he was going to be. Albert Almora is not a superstar caliber player. I think he's a fine defender in center field. Unfortunately, he's not a leadoff hitter. Unfortunately, he's not a couple other things. Addison Russell's not the superstar that everybody thought that he could be. He's also not a very good human being. So if you had to find a dance partner there for a trade, you've got another organization that's going to be a little hesitant to give up much of anything for him because the performance hasn't been there and you're dealing with the public relations baggage. So I don't know what you do if you're the Cubs. 319-366-1600, but the status quo isn't going to cut it. I think most people can agree with that.
I think that this is sort of a cautionary tale, and it's hard to say that because the Cubs are still sitting there probably as the favorites to win the NL Central and have, from top to bottom, the most, maybe the best lineup in the Central. I think that the Brewers can stake claim to that at times, but they've struggled as of late as well. But the Cubs hit on a few really big prospects. They hit on Chris Bryant. They hit on Wilson Contreras. They hit on Javier Baez. And they were sold on a few others. You mentioned Addison Russell. You mentioned Kyle Schwarber. Albert Almora sort of to a lesser extent. But I just wonder at this point, I think they've clearly missed the boat on peak value for those guys. And you have to think about this because they're in an uncomfortable position of being at the top of the standings or one game out with a manager who is, like you said, in the last year of his contract and guys who aren't getting the job done. Not only in the lineup, they're inconsistent, but in the pitching staff, they've had some injuries, and the bullpen, quite honestly, still is a big question mark. So there's a lot to address, and I feel like every single team in the NL Central right now, the top three teams right now, are sort of in that same boat of, where do we even start? But I do think the Cubs probably, out of all those three teams are in the best position. But I know you guys don't necessarily care about that. They want to get back to the World Series. They want to make a run in the National League. And right now, they're looking and saying, can this team make a run? Can this team go deep in the playoffs? And I think a lot of Cubs fans right now are saying no to that.
And that's where I'm at when you mention the standings. You look at the three teams, the top three teams in the Central. Milwaukee is a game up on the Cubs at the moment. They don't really seem to need to be shaken up. St. Louis is a 500 ball club, 41-41. But are people calling on the Cardinals to?
Absolutely.
Here we go. I'm guilty of living in a bubble. Apparently, I was unaware that people want the. So how do you shake up the Cardinals?
People are talking about trading Matt Carpenter. They're talking about already making another managerial change. The problem with the Cardinals, the problem with the Cardinals is they don't have anybody that anybody else is going to covet. They don't have any pieces that other teams are like, yeah, we really want that guy to make our run. Maybe Matt Carpenter, but he's been awful this season. So the Cardinals are in a really tough spot of pure mediocrity across the board where, I mean, look at who their representative in the All-Star game is. It's Paul DeJong, who's hitting .260 with 13 home runs this season, who wouldn't be an All-Star in any other season. So for the Cubs, they at least have some guys who have shown flashes. They have some really good core players to where you think they're going to outlast definitely the Cardinals is where they stand right now. But I think both teams are sitting here wondering, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to shake things up? And I think the Cardinals' issues go a lot deeper. I think their issues extend to the front office and the decision-making at this point.
I've seen everything from trade Chris Bryant to trade Anthony Rizzo.
Why would you contemplate something like that?
Because fans are a little overboard sometimes. Chris Bryant has struggled with runners in scoring position recently. And now he's getting the rap that Derek Lee had for a number of years when he was with the Cubs, where Derek Lee was the king in the eyes of some fans of hitting the home run when the team was up 4 or 5 and it didn't really matter. And when the team was down 1 and there were 2 runners on, he would get out. Bryant is sort of picking up that reputation at this point. It's no great shakes to see Tommy La Stella having the season that he's having with the Angels and realizing that the front office willingly let him leave so that they could trot out Addison Russell and Daniel Descalso. Daniel Descalso probably needs to go at this point. What was it, 2 years, $5 million? Not a ton of money in the grand scheme of things, but still anytime you're doling out a couple million dollars to pay a player not to play for you, it's less than ideal. I still, again, go back to the decision in November to tender Addison Russell a contract for the upcoming season. They could have just as easily walked away. They chose not to. They believed that there was still some value there. He's not holding up his end of the bargain at this point. They tried Carlos Gonzalez. That didn't work. Ben Zobrist is away from the team right now, and part of the reason they were able to make Craig Kimbrell a Cub was the fact that they took into account the money that they were saving by not having to pay Ben Zobrist. I don't know how you can shake things up outside of making a change at manager, and you're dealing here with the most successful manager in the franchise's history. And yes, he's in the final year of his contract, but I just don't know if pulling the trigger on that move with this team gets you the response that ideally you would be looking for. There, last year with Matheny in St. Louis, the prevailing thought there were a lot of players there that were just tired of his approach. not necessarily just to the game of baseball, but sort of to life in general. They didn't want to be preached at. They didn't want to be looking over their shoulder in fear of having playing time taken away from an old school manager. How do you shake these two teams up? 319-366-1600 for the second half. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com will answer that question for us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick timeout, 5:51. It is a beautiful yet sort of sticky Tuesday here in eastern Iowa. Lots more to get to as we take you up to 7 o'clock. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM and online at KGYMRadio.com. We'll be back after this.
The John Deere Classic is more than golf. It's a week filled with friends, food, fun, a youth clinic, and an amazing charity concert with Dustin Lynch. It's the event that's delivered over $100 million to local charities since 1971. And yes, there's great golf, too. Pretty. Sweet.
Oh, I like that.
Stuff.
Yes.
Magic does happen here. Get tickets at JohnDeereClassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF. Hurry, they're going fast.
Construction is a pain in the butt. Let's just admit it. TCB Pool Hall isn't into that look on the bright side BS. They know you're sick of it too. So, every day until pet mall construction is over, pool's just $2 an hour. $2. 1 hour of pool, done and done. TCB's 26 rotating taps and 30 plus bottles and cans of suds will ease the pain too. Hang out, play $2 an hour pool, complain about the construction, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the pet mall, downtown Iowa City.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $35.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Your old gas yard tools may have met their match. Right now, the Home Depot has up to $30 off select Ryobi 40-volt outdoor power tools, like the Ryobi Jet Fan Blower at a special buy of just $129. It has the power of gas without the hassle, a turbo boost for more airflow, and right now, a price no one can match. Today is the day for doing. Up to $30 off Ryobi outdoor power tools. Red, white, and blue savings, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word LIFT to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIFT to 60-60-60. Text LIFT to 60-60-60.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to 4hims.com/active. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/active. That's 4hims.com/active for your first month for just $5. 4hims.com/active.
Golden Wingo on the road.
Live at the House of Blues Cleveland for the 2019 MLB All-Star Game.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance and Sherwin-Williams.
Monday, July 8th
on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
So I'm reading the story in the Chicago Tribune during the last break that DJ Khaled has opened up. What's that?
That's his catchphrase. Another one.
He's opened up a soul food restaurant in Chicago called The Licking. And it looks pretty good. Not that you judge a book by its cover, but I tend to judge food by its picture. And I got to say, if I'm going to eat at a restaurant with a celebrity attached to it, DJ Khaled looks like he probably enjoys good food. He's not a skinny dude, is what I'm saying.
No, he's a big guy.
He's a tiny guy, or opening up a restaurant, I would be like, I don't know.
Although, hey, Harry Carey was a smaller guy, and his restaurant's fantastic.
Not really. I mean, he wasn't like a waif or anything. DJ Khaled looks like a guy who can probably hold his own in the kitchen, and especially at the dining room table. Kyle's going to have for you coming up in the 6 o'clock hour a big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Still waiting to move into that new permanent location, so you can find them at 2802 Independence Road or at the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street. Plenty more to get to coming up in the third and final hour of the show today. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com will be with us. We'll touch on a variety of baseball-related topics with Ed. Today, by the way, July 2nd, is the International Signing Day. So teams have announced agreements with many, many 16-year-old players from across the globe that you will most likely not hear from ever again. And some of them you will hear from again, but it will be 4 or 5 years later.
Didn't they even sign a guy from Mars?
The Martian is the number one prospect that signed today with the New York Yankees. And his name escapes me because even the top prospect, you don't have to worry about for a couple years.
$5 million for The Martian. And once again, I'm trying to pull Jason Dominguez.
Okay. You will not even see him in the United States for 2 years minimum.
And for those wondering, he's not from Mars. He's from the Dominican Republic. Clear that up right now.
Eloy Jimenez, I think, was a class of 2013 signing, and he just made his major league debut this year, right?
Yes.
29th, so 6 years later. Takes a long time for many of these international players to get to the United States and excel. And then there's Wander Franco, who has been promoted from the Midwest League and is tearing the cover off the ball in the Florida State League. There are exceptions to the rule. Ed Creech is set to join us next. The countdown to kickoff continues tomorrow, Wednesday, on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We turn our attention north to Minnesota and the Golden Gophers. Tune in tomorrow. If you've missed any of the countdown to kickoff, podcasts are available at KGYMradio.com. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. 6 o'clock hour begins next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, it's on to the Women's World Cup final for Team USA. The United States won today's semifinal against England 2-1. The Americans got goals from Alex Morgan and Kristen Press, as well as a huge save by goalie Alyssa Nair on a penalty kick in the 84th minute. Megan Rapinoe did not play because of a minor hamstring strain. She says she'll be healthy for Sunday. Team USA needs Rapinoe for that final, explains ESPN soccer analyst Julie Foudy.
She brings confidence. She brings swagger. As we've seen, obviously, all tournament, she brought 4 goals that carried the team into this tournament. So she brings a creativity and a confidence that you just can't replace.
The Americans will take on the winner of tonight's Netherlands-Sweden semifinal. Baseball, the Rangers will hold a moment of silence before tonight's game against the Angels in honor of Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs, who passed away yesterday at the age of 27. Rocky shortstop Trevor Story will return from an injured thumb and bat second tonight versus the Astros. Manny Machado's appeal of his one-game suspension denied, so the Padres star will serve it tonight by sitting out against the Giants. MLB had doled out that discipline for Machado making contact with an umpire in a game on June 15. An MRI on Cubs left-hander Cole Hamels shows a left oblique strain. The team says a timetable for his return will be set sometime after the All-Star break. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott took to Twitter today after meeting with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell about an incident in Las Vegas in May. Elliott tweeted he made a poor decision that night and needs to make sure in the future he doesn't put himself in compromised positions.
Coming up Wednesday, the latest from NBA free agency. Where in the world is Kawhi going? What's the plan for the Lakers? Plus, how else can the Knicks manage to screw things up? And a Women's World Cup standings update. Golden Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
The gong, an instrument used to start a sumo wrestling match. At My Computer Career, it celebrates the start of a student's new life as an IT professional and completion of a student journey focused on the result, getting you out of an unrewarding job and into an IT career in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science, you know. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First the Pirates face the Cubs, then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon starting at 2:30 here on the gym, KGYL.
And it is 6:03, just like that. Third and final hour underway, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gym frequencies in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively, online at kgymradio.com. Plenty to get to over the next 45, 50-plus minutes, but it is that Tuesday. Time to check in with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. Always enjoy chatting baseball with Ed every other Tuesday. Unfortunately, Ed, we start off today with the sad news we learned yesterday, the passing of Tyler Skaggs at 27. Having a tremendous season with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He pitched here in Cedar Rapids, coming up through the Colonels, the Angels system with Mike Trout and Patrick Corbin. Tremendous team in 2010. If you're the Angels, you've got 77 games to go this season. How do you recover from this? How do you possibly play baseball again tonight?
Well, I think this is an emotional rallying point for the Angels. They're distraught, canceled last night's game. As an organization, they went through this 10 years ago with the death of Nick Adenhart. I think not everybody is still in the organization that was there 10 years ago, but I think you have enough key people there that can help with the grieving process. But I think this is one of those things. You'll see next game the Angels play, you'll see Skaggs uniform in the dugout. He'll have his locker there for the rest of the year, and they're going to use this as a rallying point. Now, whether they can do so and get back into either the division race or the wild card race, who knows, because Skaggs' death leaves a gigantic hole in their rotation, and the Angels rotation hasn't been great even with Skaggs in it. So this seems to be a snake bit franchise. You know, I saw a tweet the other day of just all the players. There's like a 5 or 6 players who the Angels have lost while on the Angels roster, going back 40 years to Lyman Bostock, who was killed here in Chicago. Gary, actually, but when the Angels were playing the White Sox. This past winter, Luis Valbuena died in a car accident in Venezuela in El Skag. So a lot of tragedy, a lot of heartbreak. But I think the team, the leaders of the team, Trout, I think Pujols will gather the team together and will use this as an emotional rallying point and try to use this to dedicate the rest of the season to Skaggs.
Tough situation there, Ed, but let's move on to some of the baseball that we saw over the weekend. Was baseball in London as big of a disaster as a lot of people are making out to be?
I don't know. It was the, if you wanted offense, if you want to showcase in a foreign market the offensive potential of baseball, then it was wonderful. If you were looking for great pitching, then it was horrible. I think more importantly, you had two main teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox. I think they drew well. I think outside of the pitching, outside of the Red Sox performance, I think it was a fairly good success. So I think Manfred's going to be happy. I think all of the front office of Major League Baseball will be happy. Red Sox probably not so much. Yankees are probably thrilled. They took two, and they just padded their lead in the AL East. So again, from an American perspective, it was a train wreck, but I think from a foreign perspective and a European perspective, I think they probably enjoyed themselves. They saw major league players, they saw a lot of offense, and I think they saw good value for this first time in London.
What does baseball need to do differently next year for the Cubs and Cardinals series that's going to be played there?
I don't think there's really much you can do. Even if you put it at the beginning of the season, you still have players who have been in Arizona or Florida, in the case of the Cardinals, for 6 weeks, and then they have to travel overseas. It seems to be a little bit more of a success in Japan, although you don't hear about it as much because of the time change, whereas for us, it's almost like a day difference. But with London, 5-6 hours, depending on your time zone. So it's a day game here, evening game there. You can still see it live, whereas in Japan, you had to get up like 3 o'clock in the morning to catch the A's and Mariners series. So I don't know what more they can do, to be honest with you, because you're going to have that travel. They did truncate it to a 2-game series for this Yankees Red Sox London series. Gave them a day off to travel, gave them a day off to come back home. So I think, again, you're talking about a Yankees team whose pitching isn't great to begin with. Same thing for the Red Sox. So I wouldn't put too much stock into it. I think the most important thing is putting your best foot forward with the teams that are going to grab people to show up. You did it this year with the Yankees and Red Sox, and next year you'll be the Cubs and Cardinals.
Ed, every year it feels like we're talking about all-star snubs. Were there one or two that caught your eye on this year's rosters?
Not really. Nothing really egregious that you would, you know, get up in arms about. I think the name that keeps floating by that would be a snub would be Xander Bogaerts. But I think you take a look at the shortstops they put in front of them on the team. I don't think you really can quibble. I think Polanco's had a great year. And Lindor, you know, home team bias, I guess. And he's been an all-star in the past. I don't really think you can say Bogaerts was that big of a snub. Now, you might quibble as far as the fan vote, as far as the starters. But I think everybody who, you know, did deserve to be on the all-star team either got in on the fan voting or the player ballot or the Major League Baseball put them in. And don't forget, there's always going to be injuries. People will have to bow out. So I think those who felt snubbed will probably eventually get in there as injury replacements over the next week.
Did you like the new format to voting this year where they took the top three and then reopened the voting?
I think so. I liked it. You know, I think the one thing as a fan that they might have not liked about the general election would be that you could only vote once in that 28-hour span, whereas in the primary election, you could vote up to 5 times a day per email address. Again, in the general election, it was only once per email address. And I think with the way the teams are promoting it through their social media platforms, I think they should probably have the same amount of voting for a fan as they did in the primary, as they did in the general. So I think they probably should do it. Hopefully they'll tweak it for next year where fans can still vote up to 5 times for email address in the general election like they do in the primary.
Ed, let's get to the NL Central. We had this discussion in the last segment about the Chicago Cubs. A lot of people think that they need to shake things up. Is there anything they can do at this point to shake things up?
Well, they did. They signed Kimbrel. Now, you know, the Cubs are hamstrung by money. Ricketts is loath to add more payroll this year to avoid the luxury tax. You know, they were able to add Kimbrel because the Ben Zobrist being on the restricted list, and that freed up his salary. I think what you're going to have to look for is, you know, they might make something around the edges. Their prospect system isn't great. They've kind of depleted it over the years. You know, the White Sox can tell you that with Jimenez and Cease. What they acquired for Jose Quintana, Ian Happ might be dangled, but I don't know what he'll bring you back. So I think if they're going to do anything, maybe a bench bat, strengthen the bullpen. As far as a starter, they don't have much depth. We'll see how Kyle Hendricks is tonight, coming off the injured list. Cole Hamill says his oblique isn't as bad as it's been in the past, but those are tricky. Who knows how long Hamill's will be out. Azalea got wrecked last night. I wouldn't put too much stock into it, but they really don't, besides the five starters they've had for most of the year, there isn't a lot of rotation depth. And Montgomery's he's been rocked this year. He's been inconsistent. Chatwood, I don't think they trust as a starter anymore. So Epstein and Hoyer are hamstrung by the financial constraints that the Ricketts family has placed on them. So if they're going to make any deals, they have to move salary. So this might be a veteran for a veteran rather than prospects for a veteran.
Ed Creech with us, MLBTradeRumors.com. What else do you think the Cubs can do here? There are some folks out there that think Daniel Descalzo is probably a likely candidate to be DFA'd. There are people that would like to see the team finally move on from Addison Russell. Are there small moves that could be made that may still accomplish that shaking up process?
Again, they really don't have that deep of a farm system, somebody that you can bring up and shake it up. So, for example, if you get rid of Addison Russell, who's going to replace him? Same thing with Descalzo. Who are you going to bring up from the minors to replace him on the roster? Mark Zagunas? If they had any confidence in Ian Happ, he would have been up by now. So unless there's somebody who is waived from another team that could possibly give them a boost, you can try it. I mean, otherwise it's going to have to come through trade. And I think they're going to decide on that within the next month. Second base is something they're going to look at. Do you decide to give David Bote full-time at-bats at second base, or do you prefer to keep him in the utility role that he's in? If that's the case, do you go for a second baseman? You could use Addison Russell as trade bait. He's young. He's a natural shortstop. Maybe this is when I was talking about a veteran for a veteran. Maybe Addison Russell is that trade bait. Throw in Ian Happ and maybe enlarge that process a little bit. So they will be nibbling at the edges. There's no doubt. Because again, unless Ricketts makes a decision over the next 4 weeks to give more payroll for Hoyer and Epstein to play with, there's not a whole hell of a lot the Cubs can do unless they get somebody to burst on the scene that's been struggling, Descalzo, Russell, or if they finally decide, what the heck, let's go with Happ. But again, I there's not a whole lot the Cubs can do other than training a veteran for a veteran.
It's been a debate that is I've seen circling around social media the past week or so. The NL Central, so much hype was around this division going into the season, and right now we're seeing a lot of teams struggling. Are we seeing these teams beating up on each other? It's just balanced, or are we seeing a lot of mediocrity right now from the NL Central?
I think part of it is that they're beating up on each other. You know, the Cubs are in Pittsburgh right now. They just got done with a series with Cincinnati. The Brewers have in their last homestand, they had four against Cincinnati, three against Pittsburgh, and now they're back on the road, four against Cincinnati, three against Pittsburgh. So that's a lot of games within the division. I think really the only one that's been outside the division this last 2-3 weeks have been the Cardinals. But I think when we talk about the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals, the same thing has kept them spinning their wheels, and that is the quality of their starting pitching. You know, the Cubs have been well documented. Lester has started to backslide. Darvish is still spinning his wheels. Hamels, until his injury, was really the solid veteran in that group. Hendricks, even though he's doing better than he was last year, he's still not where he was 2 years ago. And they really, The Brewers, same thing. They decided to go young, and Burns and Peralta flushed out of the rotation. Woodruff has really stepped up. It would not surprise me if he's going to be an injury replacement for the All-Star team with the National League leading 10 games. For the last four starts, Zach Davies has backslid. Chase Anderson is looking more and more like a back-end star than somebody they can trust in the two or three spot. And again, the Cardinals went young, and that hasn't worked out. And their veterans have backslid. Miles Mikolas, Adam Wainwright. So I think when we take a look at this, it is simply a case of the pitching that they entrusted in their rotation has not stepped up. And that is the theme between both the Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers. And I think unless somebody can break out with that rotation, get on a hot streak, I think this is what you're going to see for the next couple of months.
Do the Cardinals seem like the obvious choice as the odd man out in those three teams? Because, yes, the pitching staff has been inconsistent, but the offense has been flat-out awful for a couple of months now.
Yeah. And not only that, it's the guys – Mosliak has just been snake bit. Every move that he has made to strengthen this team on paper looks like the right move. Signing Greg Holland, Gregerson, handing the contract to Brett Cecil, trading for Goldschmidt. These were all moves that on paper looked like they were going to make the Cardinals a juggernaut, but they've all blown up in his face. Even throwing Marcelo Ozuna, who just went on the injured list. Every trade, every free agent signing that they have made the last couple, three off seasons has really just blown up in their face. You can even go to the trading of Grichuk and Piscotty and what they've received in return for that. So, I think for the Cardinals, they've done what they could do. Now it's time. We've got the roster. They've got the talent. They have the history. Now it's time for them to live up to the history of it. And I think this is just, again, you need somebody to take – you need somebody, whether it's a pitcher or a hitter, to get hot and carry that team. And the Cardinals just have not had it yet this year.
How about the other team in Chicago right now, the White Sox, 39-42, bringing up Dylan Cease to start one of those games in the doubleheader tomorrow. What are Rick Hahn and the White Sox looking to accomplish in the second half of the season?
Continue to progress. I think if Rick Hahn had to map it out for the next 2-3 months, I think they would like to stay in the wild card race. Not because they feel they have a realistic shot at winning it, but I think what they want this young team to do is to play meaningful baseball games in August and September. It's been a very long time that the White Sox as a franchise has played meaningful games in August and September. And if you can have this young core play together in August and in September and play games that actually have an impact in the playoff race, that will give them the confidence and that will give them the experience of where they can make the jump in 2020 when they hopefully have Kopech again healthy and see the progression of Giolito. I think it's going to be a lot of eyes are going to be on Dylan Cease in that doubleheader tomorrow night. How does he pitch? Does he have a good outing? And if he does, can he continue that for the next couple of times? Because Renteria says he's up for good. We'll see. Will they have that same reaction if he gets shelled? Because I'm going to assume they're going to bring him up as the 26th man. We'll find out officially tomorrow. But I think there's a lot of excitement. I think they're happy with the development of Anderson. I think they like what they've seen with Jimenez. Like, you keep seeing Jose Abreu mentioned on the trade rumor circuit. I don't buy it. Rick Hahn has said that he is a leader of this team. I think he's a mentor for the other players on this team, whether they be Cuban, Latino, or Caucasian. I think he's the Paul Kernucker of this generation of White Sox, and I just don't see Hahn moving unless he's just bowled over with a deal. So I think this is going to be an interesting core that the White Sox should be playing with for the next 2 months. And again, it's a very weak AL Central. I don't think they're wild card worthy, but they'll probably be on the periphery of it. And they're going to be a tough team to play.
Let's stay in the AL Central. Can the Cleveland Indians make a second half push to make things interesting for the Minnesota Twins?
I think so. Again, we mentioned this when we talked a couple weeks ago. Cleveland always has in them the last couple 3 years. They always have had a double-digit winning streak. Now, in the past, it's separated them from the rest of the division. Now they needed to get back into it. Do they have it? They're starting to find a little traction in their outfield bats. Not much, but a little. There's some progress on their pitching. But they can get Clevinger back healthy and productive. Kluber is going to be back. It can Carrasco overcome that his illness that he's having? If those three pitchers can overcome their injuries and illnesses and actually come back and be a reasonable facsimile of what they've been in the past, that will be akin to adding three aces at the trade deadline for Cleveland. And I think that would give them a huge emotional boost if they can get those three back and dealing. Jose Ramirez, can he finally wiggle out of this slump that he's been battling all year long? If he does, that will be another trade acquisition at the deadline. So I think Cleveland has the parts in place. If they can just get the production out of the veterans that they've depended on in the last three, 4 years.
Since we are at the All-Star break, which team has surprised you or surprised you the most in the first half?
We'll go with good surprise. I think Minnesota. I think they've just played solid throughout the year, especially with the rookie manager in Baldelli. Buxton finally seems that he has put everything together. Nelson Cruz was a nice addition. They're really doing it with an unheralded pitching staff. Their bullpen is, you're not totally confident in the bullpen, but I think Minnesota has been a really, really nice, pleasant surprise in baseball. I think on the other side, it has been a huge disappointment. The two that come to mind immediately would be the New York Mets and the Red Sox. With all that talent that the Red Sox have, and to go on a major stage like they did in London and just lay two eggs, and the way they got off to the start of the season, it's really surprising how bad or how mediocre Boston has been this year, considering how great they were a year ago. So pleasant surprise, Minnesota, All-Star break disappointment, Mets and Red Sox.
Ed, I caught a little bit of the Cardinals and Padres series over the weekend, and it was the first long glimpse that I got at Fernando Tatis Jr., and it was the first time in a long time where I've been absolutely in awe of watching somebody on a baseball field and everything that they bring to the table. There's just no holes in his game. What has been the buzz around what he has shown in the first half?
Just an exciting play. I'm surprised he wasn't put on the All-Star team, to be honest with you. Just because I think all the headlines that have been given to Vlad Jr., Fernando Jr., I think has been overshadowed by that. And he's just a fun player to watch. He plays the game with fun. He has a great mentor, even though I'm not a big fan of Manny Machado. I think is a good mentor for Tatis, and I think that's a very dynamic left side of the infield. Defensively, he's wonderful. When the Brewers were visiting San Diego, as you did with the Cardinals, yeah, it was really my first long-term view of the Padres, and the Padres swept the Brewers, and they did it with a nice combination of pitching, defense, timely hitting. I saw snippets of the Padres series when they were in Colorado, that whole gigantic offensive masterpiece that went on there. And, I think what the White Sox are in the AL as far as a young team up on the rise, that's what San Diego is in the National League. And I think the leader of that is going to be Tatis. He plays the excitement. He's got the great skills. And I think he's going to be a dynamic player to come as long as he remains healthy.
Which major league manager probably doesn't last too far into the second half? Who's going to be the first to go?
My guess would be Mickey Callaway. I don't think he did himself any favors by blowing up at Tim Healy of Newsday after that meltdown, after the Mets blew that game against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Rumors are that the front office is not happy with how he handled the front office directive as far as apologizing to Healy and coming off as humble and apologetic. And I just think, that when you have the owner of the franchise that evening calling the writer to apologize and saying this is not the Mets way, and then having Callaway kind of drag his feet and give really a nonplussed apology, or when he faced the media, I think he's digging himself his own grave. So I think he would probably be the first one, if I had a count of somebody who's going to be on his way out before the All-Star break.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Before we let you go, who would you really like to see in the All-Star Home Run Derby this year?
I like Pete Alonso. I think this is a guy who's really flown under the radar with all the crap storm that's been flying in Queens. I think he's just been a very solid player. I think he's a I think he is, for this generation of Mets, what David Wright was in the previous generation. I think this guy is going to be a cornerstone, and I think this is somebody who is really going to be fun to watch. As far as entertainment, Josh Bell should be fun to watch. I've seen some of his swings in games against off-speed pitches, and he looks horrible. But if he's going in there just looking to put on a show for meatball batting practice, I think that'll be an interesting watch, a player to watch as well during the home run hitting contest.
All right. Enjoy the All-Star game, Ed. We'll touch base with you in a couple weeks.
All right. Happy and safe 4th of July to you guys and all your listeners.
And same to you, Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Final chat with him prior to next week's Midsummer Classic in Cleveland.
I want to see Vlad Jr. in the home run derby, and I see that he's practicing his home run derby swings.
You've seen the same video that I have
is
today.
Is this foreshadowing for something? Does he know something that we don't?
Look, we talk all the time about baseball struggling to be able to market itself, and I think you've got some guys who are not in the All-Star game, but a guy like Eloy Jimenez, yes. A guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you could put them in the home run derby, and I think it would go a long way toward piquing people's interest. As long as you get them to tune in, you still have to fight that battle of getting people to turn on the TV in the first place, or maybe not necessarily watch, but something that goes viral, a moment in the home run derby. I'm thinking back to, was it 2008, when Josh Hamilton had that just absolutely extraordinary second round or whatever it was at the old Yankee Stadium. He didn't win the home run derby that year, but that preliminary round where he homered and homered and homered and homered, had Twitter been around then, that's the type of moment that would just absolutely go viral. So if I were in charge of Major League Baseball, I'd have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I'd have Fernando Tatis Jr., I'd have Eloy Jimenez. I'd have some of these young stars there,
Pete
participating
Alonso,
in the home run derby. And Alonso, especially. The Mets have not had much to celebrate this year, making Alonso a sort of future face of the franchise would be one of the few things that they could enjoy. And speaking of the Mets, they celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Miracle Mets, the 1969 World Series champion Mets, over the weekend. And even took the time to play an in-memoriam video for fans at Citi Field to look back on the lives of players who were on the 1969 Mets who were no longer with us. And in true Mets fashion, they included two players who were very much still alive from that 1969 team. The Mets. You can't make it up. And yes, yesterday was July 1st, Bobby Bonilla Day. He's up to $20-some million now on that deferred salary.
I would love to know what Bobby Bonilla is doing these days. Living his best life.
On July 1st, I doubt he leaves the house until the mailman arrives. I'm sure it's direct deposit since it's the 21st century.
Just $1.5 million every single year.
You still get the stub mailed to you physically, and I would go to the mailbox every July 1st, open that mailbox up, and make sure that that pay stub was in there. 319-366-1600. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to have your final big board update of the day, and we'll take you up to 7 o'clock. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. More on the way after this.
So you're upgrading a house, planning an incredible master bath, a stunning open concept kitchen, but for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Create something truly inspired with TimberTech. Design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Imagine the possibilities at TimberTech.com. Bring your outdoor living space to life with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
I'm bored.
Already, Dad?
I want to do something fun together.
Video games?
Nah.
Ride bikes?
Tired of it.
Run through the sprinkler. Waterfall National Mini Golf?
Yes! Waterfall National!
Okay, we can do that.
Woohoo! Waterfall National Mini Golf!
Bust the summer boredom for your family at Waterfall National Mini Golf.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go, let's go. Now.
I'm not ready yet.
Part of Airport National Golf on Wright Brothers Boulevard, Cedar Rapids.
Hurry up.
Dad.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for a happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, did you forward me this email from Svetlana?
Yes.
You want me to interview her for a job?
Well, it says she's looking to get down to business.
It also says she likes gentle bear cub man who knows what he likes.
I'm gentle.
Dave, this is a Ukrainian dating site.
Corporate said we should hire more diverse candidates.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Twins and the A's open up a three-game series tonight out west. Hi, this is Corey Provost. Join Chris and Danny for the call. 8:30 pregame, 9:07 start on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:32, welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also coming your way on KGYM's South and North Gym FM frequencies. That would be 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com. A big thank you to Emil's Hideaway, sponsoring our poll question today and every day at KGYMradio.com. You can visit our website to get up to the minute broadcast schedules, live events, including what you'll be hearing on Thursday during the 4th of July as we take time off to celebrate with our families this country's independence. And we'll be back on Friday after the 4th. So the countdown to kickoff, two more stops this week, including tomorrow. We take a look at the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Right now, Kyle's with us in the studio. Third and final Big Board update brought to you, as the other two have been and are every day, by Alexander Lumber. Their staff will make sure that you have exactly what you need for whatever it is, the summer building project that you may be embarking upon. Alexander Lumber, currently located at 2802 Independence Road in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa football team announced its leadership group today, consisting of 18 seniors. It doesn't always work out that way, but the veteran group includes the likes of Nate Stanley, Brady Reef, Cedric Lattimore, Michael Ojemudia, Amani Jones, Christian Welch, Drew Cook, the Paulsons, Brady Ross, and Colton Rastetter, and that group was voted on by the team. Iowa State guard Tyrese Halliburton and the Team USA Under-19 team played the final preliminary round game today at the FIBA World Cup in Greece. Halliburton once again led the team in minutes in an 87-54 victory over Senegal, but sat back scoring-wise as they spread the ball around a little bit more. He actually went scoreless, only attempting two shots with four assists, three boards, and a block. They're going to begin the round of 16 tomorrow against Latvia. We got a little in-state recruiting news this afternoon, and not exactly good news for most of you. Three-star, 6'5", 250-pound defensive end Blaze Gunnarsson is the second-ranked recruit in the state in the class of 2022, and this morning the Carroll Kemper product committed to Scott Frost and Nebraska. The Hawkeyes extended an offer, but it was the Cyclones that had reportedly been in particularly hot pursuit. The Colonels are beginning a four-game split home-and-home series on the road in Burlington today. First pitch is set for any minute right about now and tomorrow before returning to Cedar Rapids on the 4th. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins and A's from Oakland. First pitch is set for around 9, and we'll pick up coverage at 8:30. That'll be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
So we've got a listener on the text line who wants to dive into an explanation of the sign-in trades that everybody is hearing about. with regard to the NBA. NBA free agency as well as NHL free agency got underway yesterday. The sign and trade, because of, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here, because of the salary cap structure, correct?
Correct.
In the NBA, teams often will sign a player to a deal that fits under their cap.
Correct.
And then they trade them to the other team.
Yes. So that's what the Philadelphia 76ers have done with Jimmy Butler, trading him to the Miami Heat after signing him. And that's what several other teams are rumored to do with certain players who are free agents.
It's difficult to understand.
The NBA is very difficult to understand.
You have to have a player under contract in order to trade them.
Right.
That's part of the deal. So you can't trade a guy who's technically a free agent, so you sign them to a deal and then ship them off.
So you can acquire assets in return.
And it's all about assets.
That would be one of the motive. That's kind of what the Warriors did with getting D'Angelo Russell and Kevin Durant. They kind of did that because it was the only way they're going to get Kevin Durant or get anything back for Kevin Durant. Whereas if you look at like the Heat, they had to do a sign and trade with Philly because the Heat just flat out didn't have room to sign anybody. So there's a few different motivations, but either way, pretty complex.
They get very creative with these certain loopholes that are made just so teams can be under the hard salary cap.
What are we waiting for here, other than Kawhi Leonard with NBA
Not much.
Free agency?
Kawhi Leonard.
That's it.
We're waiting for Kawhi Leonard.
There's nobody else out there? Nobody?
I mean, there are people out there, but none that have the direct impact on a championship team, whoever he may go to or where, if he stays in Toronto, the way that Kawhi Leonard will.
There was a very large wager placed in Las Vegas on the Lakers being the final destination for Kawhi Leonard, and now odds makers are very, very nervous because if you remember the other day, the Lakers were third on that list as far as possible landing spots for him go. So they're worried that this is somebody who may know something. I think it's somebody that just sees some value there in, what was it, 6-1 or whatever signing with the Lakers was.
Well, did you see that there were other odds makers and other sports books taking that bet off the book, which was would have been smart from the get-go?
Well, Vegas loves to take people's money until they realize that they're going to have to probably pay out on some of those wagers. So futures and prop bets, stuff like that, it's always interesting. I've always wondered, I mean, if you tipped off the right person, if you were in his camp or if you were him, you just, hey, I owe you, I've known you for a really long time. Friends since we were really little. I'm not saying anything, but you know, if you had $25, maybe you could go put it on me staying with Toronto. That's all it would take.
Now so, that would be that's a felony, isn't it? If it was ever proven.
Tomato. It's not insider trading. It's not Martha Stewart getting a stock tip. It's
sort
just
of the
Kawhi
same
Leonard,
thing, right?
Hinting to somebody that he has a decision that he's made. He is reportedly meeting with the LA teams, both the Lakers and the Clippers, this week, along with the Toronto Raptors. I don't know what I think. I agree with the conversation we had the other day with Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post. If I were Kawhi, staying in Canada.
I think the crazy thing about this, Jerry astutely brought this up. The thing that might keep Kawhi in Canada is a training staff. It's the reason he left San Antonio in the first place.
They took very good care of him.
They did.
And that was part of the reason he was a rental. They were not. Look at, you know, Aroldis Chapman with the Cubs in 2016 when he was acquired from the Yankees. They knew they weren't going to re-sign him. Joe Maddon had no qualms about pitching him and over-pitching him. Yu Darvish with the Dodgers in the postseason. You could make the argument he was overused. The Raptors could have run Kawhi Leonard into the ground. They didn't. They rested him. They had a course of treatment throughout the season where they made sure that he was 100% and well-rested and ready to go for the postseason. Now, is there a little loyalty there from Kawhi Leonard for that? Or does he take his ring? Does he say thank you very much? And does he take his show to one of the largest media markets in the country? Even though I don't necessarily think he totally cares about the media. He's not that type of player. But there are a lot of moving parts here.
Well, and
he's one of the most underrated stars in the game today.
Next year, he'll be a top two player in the NBA. Without Kevin Durant in the fold, he's going to be the second best player in the NBA. And some people can make the argument that I don't know. There are the LeBron detractors out there that are going to make that argument. But conversely, with the training, the trainers in Toronto, look at what happened in Los Angeles last year. Everybody got hurt. And when I say everybody on that team got hurt, I mean every single person on that team got hurt. And when they came back, they weren't effective. And they couldn't get guys back, certain guys back at all throughout the course of the season. So that's something where Kawhi's looking at this and saying, do I really want to deal with this again? It's why I asked out of San Antonio. I win a championship in Toronto. If I stay here, I still think we're going to be favorites to win the NBA championship. Do I want to go into that situation?
But if you stay in Toronto, you get to play with Matt Thomas. We didn't really talk a great deal about this yesterday. I know Kyle had it on his big board, but the former Iowa State sharpshooter getting a 3-year deal with the Raptors, that makes 7 players from that Iowa State team a couple years ago NBA caliber players, guys that will have had a contract with a team in the league. That's really impressive, especially when you juxtaposition that roster next to Iowa's, and the Hawkeyes have had a hard time putting 1 or 2 players into the league. Now, you can also make the argument, well, if you had 7 players with NBA caliber ability, you probably should have done more with that roster. But hindsight always 20/20, and I think it's something Iowa State deserves to celebrate, and Matt Thomas certainly deserves to celebrate. He had a tremendous run in Europe, now gets an opportunity via Nick Nurse and the Raptors to play for the defending NBA champion. So pretty impressive there. And as we mentioned yesterday, Megan Gustafson also signing with a team in Budapest, Hungary. There seemed to be a little bit of confusion yesterday among some fans over her signing. It does not mean that she's no longer a member of the Dallas Wings, even though they've already parted ways with her once. The NBA season, WNBA season, does not run concurrently with the overseas season. So you can have a WNBA contract and you can play overseas, and that's what she's going to do. And probably going to make a lot of money in Hungary.
The contracts overseas are much more lucrative than the ones in the WNBA. She's not the only player. There are several players in the WNBA that do this.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here, touching on a variety of subjects as we make our way toward 7 o'clock tonight. Make sure you tune into the gym class tomorrow. Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes will turn the gym class into a caddy smack edition of the gym class. All the golf talk that you could hope to handle and more. Rick Swan, our pal from Smart FM, makes his way across the hallway into the KGYM studios. They're going to be talking the Zach Johnson Foundation Classic on the program tomorrow. The Zach Johnson golf outing is coming up next week. Jason Duffner is scheduled to be here in Cedar Rapids. Bryson DeChambeau, and of course, the 2007 Masters champion himself, Zach Johnson, back at the course where everything began for him, Elmcrest Country Club.
Can I give you an example of how confusing the NBA gets with all of this?
Yes, I know. I think people would Love that.
This is unbelievable. So the Lakers have signed Jared Dudley to a one-year, $2.6 million deal. And people are wondering, okay, well, they're tight for cap space as it is. How's he going to fit in? Now, Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports says, the Lakers did not use cap space for Dudley. This will be a minimum signing. Dudley will sign after LA uses cap space because you can exceed the cap using the minimum exception. Same thing for Troy Daniels with the Lakers. How is somebody supposed to know what's going on in that league?
Your guess is as good as mine. Until the dust settles and Adrian Wojnarowski or somebody else writes about it.
It's like 10 people in the world have figured out how everything works in the NBA, and those guys have huge Twitter followings.
They've been able to take that niche, and they've been able to monetize it.
Correct.
And good for them. 6:46, that's going to just about do it for us today. We'll take a final timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store coming up on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
Driving is freedom. The freedom to keep moving, to control your destiny, and to choose your path. And now, that freedom fits in the palm of your hand. It's called Ford Pass, the only app that gives you roadside assistance, Ford Pass rewards, and now, when you buy or lease a new Ford, earn points you can use toward flexible complimentary maintenance that gives you, well, more freedom. Ford Pass, built to keep you moving. Built Ford proud. Visit your participating Ford dealership to find out about getting flexible complimentary maintenance when you buy or lease a new Ford and sign up for rewards.
Roadside assistance is included for certain Ford owners and available to everyone for a per service fee. Ford reserves the right to change program details without obligations. Visit your participating dealer or FordPassRewards.com for program rules and restrictions. Ford Pass, compatible with select smartphone platforms, is available via a download.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team. Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this. Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The weather's heating up, and at AutoZone, we have the Duralast batteries you can rely on to drive with confidence. They're proven tough, even in the most extreme conditions. That's because they're designed to improve performance and provide your ride with a powerful startup, which means you can count on them to deliver when you need it most. And they're available only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's a Major League Baseball 4th of July doubleheader. First, the Pirates face the Cubs, then the Braves face the Phillies.
Thursday afternoon, starting at 2:30 here on the gym. Keen GYM.
Welcome back in, 6:50, as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Can't hear fireworks in the 4th of July without thinking of the fireworks stand scene in Joe Dirt, one of my favorite movies. Todd and Alex with you here on KGYM. Coming up on tomorrow's show, the countdown to kickoff continues in earnest as we will be counting down the hours before we take a break for the 4th of July. The Minnesota Golden Gophers, tomorrow's stop on the countdown to kickoff. Counting down the days until Big Ten Football Media Days in Chicago on the 18th and 19th of this month. We'll be broadcasting both days from the Hilton in Chicago along Michigan Avenue. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us here in the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. No more big board updates to get to today. Tune in tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, the next time you'll have an opportunity to get caught up to speed, courtesy of our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can also check out the Answers by Alexander Interiors showroom on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City. Plenty more to get to coming up tomorrow on the program. Tonight, lots of baseball on tap, including the Minnesota Twins getting back into action. I completely agree with Ed Creech, who we talked to here in the 6 o'clock hour. No doubt in my mind, the Minnesota Twins, the best story on a positive front in Major League Baseball's first half.
Yeah, they've put it all together. They've put together a first half that Twins fans have been waiting for a long time, and not this roller coaster ride like we saw from them the last 5 or 6 years. Now, the Cleveland Indians, as Ed also pointed out, have started to play better. They've had a surge in them throughout the past 3 years in the second half. So I'm not going to completely write off Cleveland as a contender yet, but the Minnesota Twins, if they continue to hit the ball the way that they are, they're going to be just fine.
An emotional moment in Washington, D.C. tonight as former Colonels left-hander Patrick Corbin takes the mound for the first time following the passing of his longtime teammate and friend Tyler Skaggs. Both pitched here in Cedar Rapids in the 2010 season. Corbin switching from number 46 to number 45 tonight in honor of Tyler Skaggs, and before delivering his first pitch, bending down to write his number 45 in the dirt behind the mound. I don't know how you go forward if you were close with Tyler Skaggs and try to play baseball tonight, but that's exactly what Patrick Corbin's doing with the Nationals, and it's what Tyler Skaggs' teammates have to do with the Angels as they take on Texas and try to get back to whatever their new normal is moving forward. Cubs have the Pirates. Kyle Hendricks is off the injured list on a pretty strict pitch count tonight of 60 to 70 pitches. And the Twins back in action, as a matter of fact, coming your way shortly on 107.5 FM. It will be a late night for Twins fans here in Eastern Iowa as the Twins are on the West Coast taking on the Athletics. Countdown to kickoff continues tomorrow. If you missed our stop in Champaign, Illinois earlier today with Jeremy Werner, you can listen to the podcast. It's available at KGYMradio.com. Local programming returns tomorrow with the Gym Class, brought to you by Third Base Brewery. Scott and Mark hit the airwaves at 3.